Se va el león.
Tal que fuese esta.
Ahora puse cancha. Ya. Lo que fue la corona le.
Chairperson, I would have colleagued with as an alternative, as you've mentioned, Cheryl Phillips, the Member of Parliament. She's from Rustenburg. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Is
your
I'm not using proximity.
This
is not the meeting of Phillips.
It is.
Why do you have so many things to do?
husband and he's
bringing my relatives to for support.
We are on item 4. As I said, item 3 will be applicable to the court. Item 4, briefing by the Department of Water and Sanitation on the floor of the court and the court of the court of the court. And I move the DM that your office is represented. If the minister is not here, the deputy minister is here. So we are fine. Don't worry about that. You bring the food when you come home, that the minister will say it's not here. So it is the office that you have to go. Yes, it's good.
Nosotros tenemos que presentar el documento. Me tengo que hacer el portfolio de los machistas, miembros del Parlamento, all the officials from the PWF, led by the DC himself. I'll just make a brief opening remark that we are presenting chair to the committee the quarter performance of the department, including the presentation, obviously, on the progress towards the repair, on the agenda around the Roiva Waste Treatment Works, the Hamaskal, that's on your item 5. I would also state that from the onset that the Minister Mkhulu has taken some steps in terms of making necessary interventions in many of our struggling municipalities, specifically in relation to the provisions of water and sanitation services. You would also recall that when the President of the country in his Bona spoke to how essential reliable water supply it is to the well-being of our people and to the growth of our economy. And also President would have indicated that the Department of Water and Sanitation under our Minister is leading the process of investing in major infrastructure projects across the country. Now, in one of the central pillars of government economic reconstruction and recovery plan, that aims at not only growing our economy but creating a much needed job opportunity for many of our employed citizens, especially for the youth, women, and people living with disabilities. In line with the provision of the NDP, the investment in water and sanitation is critical to our transformation agenda, and this is more so in relation to the rural water infrastructure investment. Our department has reached the most distant part of our rural landscape in advance of this national mandate. So I think something that is very important that we will need to make a distinction on and also remind ourselves that the district development model is crucial to accelerate the pace of the delivery of basic water sanitation services to our people. Hence, the three spheres of government in order to meet our national goals with the provisions of these basic services. And of our country, Parliament in its own wisdom has realized the importance of establishing good work relations with all the three spheres, hence your work that you always do in terms of keeping and ensuring that this partnership. You take it on task in so far as it's your oversized model. So now we have a situation where we don't really want to be as a department to be only known by giving money that we have appropriated from Parliament to our municipality, as you would know, through the various grants such as the regional park infrastructure, the RBIC, and the water services infrastructure grant, the WISIC, and the municipality infrastructure grant, the MIC. From municipalities with the hope of success. Now, the minister would have employed all of us in the ministry to creep across the country at the length and breadth of our country, visiting all the municipalities mostly, where the department has made this intervention of this grant, to oversee the progress and to also receive updates reports on the status of this intervention in water and sanitation infrastructure. Now, Chair, our presentation today will be speaking to key strategic projects that not only show remarkable progress, but also competing good stories that we want to tell. You would also appreciate the fact that this department, over time in history, you would know it through its financial performance that it comes from a very difficult situation. So in terms of its performance, we would have noted some progress that we have done, and the CFO will also delve into that and speak to the performance in this quarter. Now, we would have achieved 74% of key performance targets that we have. We would have achieved, including completing some projects, the Hazel Near Dam project, the Guyana Gulf Water project, the filling engineering and scientific positions, and that has been, over time, you've been grappling with positions that here you would have found lots of acting positions, and this has, time has changed. The preferential procurement regulations change has been also implemented in achieving or partially achieving targets for procurement from designated groups and construction projects face challenges due to inadequate planning, collaboration and stakeholder capacity. Now, the department is also implementing interventions to improve performance and financial stability, such as the infrastructure procurement strategy and enhanced project management. I just want to draw quickly on the performance when it comes to some programs, and of course the presentation goes into detail when it comes to that. But we would have identified the challenges in administration and water resource management programs, such as partially achieved in compliance with the risk management plan and delays in infrastructure projects. The financial performance change, something that I think that we need to note from the desk of the ministry, is that the Department of Water and Sanitation has spent 95.4% of its financial budget, with the underspending of 861.595 million. We would have seen variations between budget and expenditure were identified in compensation of employees, goods and services, transfers and subsidies, and payment of capital assets. And also, the department would have applied for rollovers of unspent funds to the next financial year, and the CFO will touch on that. The financial recovery plan aims to also address funding and budget management, expenditure control, and strengthen the credit control in the water sector. And this is what, as the ministry, we are really putting our hands on it. We would have seen most of issues around the irregular expenditure, and I think that's very critical to also the oversight that we do over ourselves, that it has been a reoccurring issue. The control deficiencies identified within the procurement processes, you will know about it. The department at this point has taken measures to really improve procurement processes and prevent this future irregular expenditures. The ongoing investigation on condonations and the legal processes are being pursued to also address this irregular expenditure. But overall, the water and sanitation has really made progress in its service delivery programs and achieved a significant portion of its performance targets and budget expenditure. However, there are areas, Chair, from our side of underperformance, particularly project management and procurement processes. The department is implementing interventions and a financial recovery plan, as I said, to really improve this performance and strengthen financial management and address really the irregular expenditure and in this continued effort that are needed to effective planning. The collaboration and stakeholder capacity of construction projects and procurement activities is something that you will also receive within the presentation itself. At this point, Chair, those are my opening remarks. Allow me to hand over to the DG3 as well so we can take us through the presentation and delegate the officials accordingly. Thank you so much, Chair.
You start where the minister is ending, not necessarily. In the kind of where she is started.
Chair. Chairperson. I'm on a watch. I'm not sure whether it's my tea, but I'm boiling here. It's hot. Yeah, I want some fresh air if the windows.
But the officials here are working. Do you think you will help us?
The windows, how are they? Is the aircon on?
Yes, that's what's making it hot.
But you think what do you expect to be cold? How cold
is it?
But you know who's over
here? Oh no, this is fine. One window is open. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As indicated by the Deputy Minister, we are continuing with our improvement programs in the department, which is resulting in some indication of improvement against ATP targets. We are particularly focused on trying to improve municipal water and sanitation service delivery, where we think the biggest challenges are. As indicated by the DM, we have been putting a lot of focus on increasing and strengthening our support to municipalities and our interventions at municipalities. But we've also been indicating publicly recently that we're also starting to look at possible legislative amendments to the Water Services Act in order to further strengthen the role of municipalities as water services authorities in terms of ensuring that water service providers provide services to a minimum standard, and in terms of strengthening the ability of our minister to intervene effectively. We do still have some challenges. Our improvement program is work in progress. So we do still have a way to go to improve our procurement, which is a major focus of myself and the CFO and the line function DDGs. And our project management. There has been some progress, but there's more still to be done. We're halfway along our journey of improvement. With those words of introduction, I'd like to hand over to Babawa to make the presentation on the performance, the report against the ATP performance information for the fourth quarter.
Thank you. Good morning to the Deputy Minister, the Honourable Members and my colleagues. And if you look at the current slide, that does indicate a comparison of the non-financial performance and the performance of the department, which is a reflection of an 8% improvement compared to the same period last year. So that is it, I will just go into detail in the subsequent slides on the areas of underperformance, so I would not really want to dwell on that one. If you go through this slide, it is just an indication of the program performance. As you will know that we've got three budget programs in the department. This is just to indicate that the first program and second and third program overall performance in relation to the 74%, the contribution to the 74% of the department's performance for the financial year. Then this slide that you have in front of you indicates the preferential procurement, which is at 61% procurement from SME for the year, and procurement from exempted micro enterprises and qualifying small enterprises with 26% and 25% respectively by the end of the fourth quarter. If you go into details, this slide, slide 9, it is an indication of procurement from designated groups. I would like to draw the attention of the members to that the department now reports on procurement from women-owned, youth-owned, and persons with disabilities-owned companies. The ownership must be at 50% and above, and therefore it reflects a 23% procurement from women, 6% from youth, and 2% from persons with disabilities. Then if you go to slide 11, it is just an indication of the performance of program 1, an indication of the sub-programs that constitute program 1, and I would like to indicate that there's a slight improvement in the financial management program, which the CFO will be talking to as compared to the previous financial year. And slide 12 indicates some of the achievements that the Deputy Minister mentioned on the program performance, what we have achieved and what I've also indicated before. If you'll allow me, Chairperson, I will just go and indicate the areas of partial and non-achievement, which is slide 13 of what you have in front of you. It talks to our ability to implement fully our risk management plan and also the filling of the vacancy rate for engineers and scientists. As you will know that we have approved the organizational structure and that significantly increased the number of positions, technical positions that we have. So as we capturing those in the system, it creates a significant number of vacancies which are of technical in nature. But with the advertisement and the recruitment drive that we're undergoing, we are planning to be reducing that vacancy rate significantly over the period. If you go to slide 14, the CFO will go into detail into the areas of underperformance and the data base. So if you'll allow me, Chairperson, I'll go to program 2, which is water resources management, which is a graphical presentation on slide 50. And you see there that program attained, three sub-programs attained 100% of what they planned for the year. It's only one that did not attain any of what was planned for the year, but the others are presenting a significant improvement compared to the previous financial year. Then in slide 16, this is just an indication of the achievements. 16 and 17 is an indication of the achievement by the sub-program for the fourth quarter. It is a detailed explanation of what we've achieved for the quarter. So cumulatively by the end of the fourth quarter, that is the one. And if you go to slide 18, this is just an indication of the areas of partial and non-achievement, which is relating to our policy and strategy. We are actually finalizing the amendments of our bills and the third edition of the water resources strategy and also the gazetting of the infrastructure agency. Those, it is work in progress. I know the DG one was mentioning this opening remarks to mention to that. So this is now work in progress. We are just doing the final consultation to make sure that those are finalized for consultation and also tabled in Parliament when they are ready. If you go to the Water Resources Management Infrastructure Program, which is slide 19, it just talks to the number of projects that are in preparation for construction, the three, and we are indicating that we have been experiencing some delays in finalizing a lot of the issues to make sure that the projects are under construction. But also there are some that are under construction
which we are just experiencing some delays with regards to Sanin and Ken William Dem, and also the conveyance rehabilitation. It is just a certain delays that we experience, and we have provided the reasons and the recovery of the department on when we plan to complete those. If you go again to slide 20, we're talking to schedule maintenance there. Even though we do have planned maintenance and contractors that are assisting us with acceleration, but owing to the significant backlog, we are trying to accelerate and make sure that we finalize our maintenance program as planned. And it also goes for the dam safety rehabilitation, where we are planning to have the completion of those dam safety rehabilitation projects in the next financial year, the year that we're in 2023-24. When we talk to the regulations, it is the drafting of the regulation. When the National Water Amendment Bill is finalized, we'll be in a position to finalize this draft regulation. But as soon as this is final, the bill is finalized, then we can be achieving the planned target. If we go into Program 3, which is water services, which is where the bulk of our water services projects are, we are indicating that our institutional oversight sub-program attained all of what was planned for the year, but also there is some improvement that can be indicated within the water services and local water management program compared to the previous financial year. Our bulk infrastructure program, I will be talking to it in the subsequent slide. This slide 23 is an indication of our achievements. I will also be talking in detail in terms of the bulk infrastructure projects and our grant performance in the subsequent slide to indicate where the projects are in terms of performance and also those that are in under completion. If you go to then slide 24, this is the slide I was talking to. It indicates a total of 100 projects that we have under construction, which is multi-year projects, and we managed to complete 7 of those multi-year projects by the end of the fourth quarter. This is in regards to the regional park infrastructure. Water services infrastructure grant, it is 379 of those projects, and an indication of disaggregation per project, the province, and also 102 of those have been completed. And we do have interventions, as the DJ has mentioned, and those are in Limpopo and in Gauteng, and that is Val and Giani. If you go to slide 25, it talks to the water services. It is just an indication that we're planning to publish our no-drop report, which we have planning to publish it by this 2023-24 financial year. And also we are planning to make sure that we finalize the district reliability plan by this first period of this 2023 financial year. And then we're talking to the number of projects to slide 26, which we could not complete as planned at a large project. Just indicating those projects where they are, and our plan to make sure that they finalize by the end of this 2023-24 financial year. And also we are talking to slide 27, we're talking to small water services infrastructure grants that have been delayed in completion, and we just provided a summary of the various challenges experienced within the municipal space and our support interventions that we're planning to do. And that slide also talks to the bucket eradication program, which we have not been able to connect to reticulation, and we just provided a summary of it, and the details also will follow when the CFO is talking to the expenditure. And the DG also mentioned with regards to the water services amendment bill in his opening remarks. In terms of regulation, we just indicated that we assessed 56 years of the now published new job report, so that target has already been achieved in the first quarter of this financial year. I am done at DG with the non-financial performance. The subsequent slides are financial.
I thank the Chairperson and morning to the Portfolio Committee and the DG. Chairperson, I'll take the committee through the financial overview as well as the financial recovery plan. The last part of the presentation is detailed information at the provincial and the municipal level. So I'll start first with the spending. The spending at the end of March is 95.4%. In the previous financial year, the department spent 85.7%. In rand value, Chairperson, the underspending of the previous financial year was 2.5 billion. So we have made some improvements from the level of underspending, as much as we do note that we should have spent most of the 861 a million, but we also have some of the challenges which I will also talk to. So the next slide will summarize the previous slide in terms of the economic classification. On the compensation of employees, we have a recorded underspending of 23 million. That is because of the outer year budget cuts that we've been provided by National Treasury. So we had to reduce the level of filling posts by only prioritizing those critical posts that we could afford in the outer years. Under goods and services, we also recorded 60 million underspending. Those had to do with some of the challenges that we experienced at the end of the financial year, mostly related to systems and problems which we had also reported to National Treasury. We could have processed those invoices. But also, amongst others, there were challenges with certification of invoices that relates to the disaster interventions. I'll talk to that in the next slide. And your transfers and subsidies, those have to do with your normal employee social benefits, your leave gratuities, where you have employees who have exceeded the system and you need to pay them out of this line item. And the biggest underspending is under your capital expenditure, and I will also elaborate on that. But also to confirm, Chairperson, that when we closed the financial year, we have made all the efforts to ensure that together with municipalities and water board, that we commit all the funds to enable us to make application to National Treasury for a rollover of funds into the next financial year. We presented to the portfolio committee before the end of March, when we presented the third quarter, some of the measures that we have put in place to ensure that we mitigate the risk of underspending. We have identified those projects that are long outstanding, Giani being one of them, where the department also approached National Treasury to obtain approval to utilize some of the funds for the regional bulk infrastructure towards water services so that we are able to reduce the underspending but also to increase our levels of service. So these are the requests that we have submitted to National Treasury. We have committed all these funds. The ones that relate to water tankering, KZN disaster response, are the ones where I've indicated that we had to go through a process of certification. The levels of compliance are high. We have to make sure that the money that we are spending, that we comply with those principles of economic efficiency and effectiveness of all these projects that we are implementing. So it took us quite a long time to certify, where we had to return some of the invoices which were incorrectly stated by the service provider, but ultimately we managed to get to the invoices that we could pay. Unfortunately, at the end, we couldn't finalize those. Bucket reallocation, as we stated, that there are also challenges then. We'll recall, Chairperson, that we had human settlement projects that were projects that were implemented through human settlement. There are contractors which were appointed. However, there were still some challenges with the planning phase of this project. So we inherited, we took a number of contractors. However, some of the planning elements of those projects was not concluded. So it delayed also the process. The commitment of the department is to ensure that during the 23-24 financial year that all these projects will be concluded. This slide reflects the regional bulk infrastructure grant, how much we have spent. The final budget was 5.9 billion, we spent 5.3 billion. This includes also the allocation towards the Vaal River system, the Emfuleni intervention, where we have OPEX support to the municipality. And under the water board, we have transferred all the allocations. This is where also the department is improving the oversight, monitoring, and oversight of the water board. These are pure transfers, and the actual spending is reflected on the side of the water board. And again, on the water services infrastructure grant, 4.4 billion was the final allocation after we have made also the environment, and we have spent 4.3 billion, left with 186 million. As indicated, some of those funds relate to the budget eradication program, and they will be spent in the 23-24 financial year. On the payments for capital assets under water services infrastructure grant, I can also confirm that in the first quarter of the 23-24 financial year, we have managed to pay those invoices where we encountered a systems problem at the end, and we've applied for National Treasury to roll over this fund. And then we also have transfers that we are making to local government under both the regional bulk infrastructure grant as well as water services infrastructure grant. Similar to the water board, this is where the department is putting more effort to make sure that all these transfers to local government are spent for the intended purpose. So what we are reflecting here is the actual transfer that we have made to these municipalities. And later on, we also obtain on a monthly basis, quarterly basis, the actual spending by these municipalities. There are processes that we have to comply with in terms of the Division of Revenue Act to make sure that all these municipalities spend these funds for the intended purpose. Under the 6B allocations, this is where the department is intervening or implementing projects on behalf of municipalities. We have spent 2.5 billion of the 3.1 billion, and as indicated, a significant amount of money was underspent under the budget eradication program. We have commitments that we have already performed due diligence on, the contract that we took over from a human settlement, but as indicated, there were some challenges as well on the infrastructure planning side, which required the department to conclude some of the planning requirements, including the issues of ensuring that we are able to connect this bulk to the household as well. And on the Gauteng one, the Emfuleni, we have appointed Rainwater. Rainwater is the implementing agent. We have spent quite a lot of money supporting the municipality, and Rainwater in this 23-24 financial year, they are now beginning with the major capital works on the project, and we are hopeful that they will see an increase of the capital spending for the Emfuleni intervention project. Water services infrastructure grant for the Eastern Cape as well as the KwaZulu-Natal, we could have spent all this allocation. We did also present this to the portfolio committee that we had measures to ensure that we do not return the funds, but a bulk of those, as indicated, they relate to the challenges that we have experienced at the end. Over and above the system's challenges is that process of certifying the invoices where the service provider would have inflated, for example, some of the claims that they submitted, so it took longer to verify. In the bucket eradication, I have indicated that we have resolved some of the bottlenecks that we have experienced on the project, and these funds are now part of the rollover. On the water trading entity, also we have the budget as well as the spending per program there. A bulk of the allocation goes towards repayment of loans through the TCTA. We also have payments for capital assets where we have projects that we are implementing directly as the department. Moving to the next part on the financial recovery plan of the department, we are required to provide progress on this. These are the broad strategies that we have presented before to the committee, where we are indicating the areas where we are trying to ensure that we put measures in place to ensure that we do not get to the previous challenges that we had with the default by the department, issues of bank overdraft, audit issues that we had, and also to ensure that all our projects, especially the historic projects, long-outstanding projects, are concluded. So all these interventions, including what was presented earlier on around the procurement strategies, are aimed at ensuring that we maximize our service delivery. The challenge that we are having and we are dealing with this relates to improper expenditure. We have presented before in detail unauthorized expenditure. We have engaged National Treasury, and the process is underway with Parliament through the new committee on SCOPA. So they will be considering the request for approval of this unauthorized spending. It happened more than 5 years ago, where we had overspending on the main division of a vote for Program 1 at the stage, as well as Program 3 in those years. And some of the challenges that we had with regard to fruitless and wasteful expenditure is on the construction unit of the department, especially where there are costs that we could not recover from this project. It could relate also to issues of procurement, where there were delays and those costs could not be capitalized. And on the main account, we are also noting that there is a decline on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The amounts that are still remaining there, they are part of the investigations. We have to go through a very detailed process before we conclude on condonations or a write-off of these expenditures. The regular expenditure as well, the trend is indicating that we are on the path of eliminating this irregular expenditure. The balances that we are seeing here, these are the historic balances, but the graph that will show in the subsequent slide will also demonstrate that we are actually working towards eliminating all this improper expenditure. And to ensure that these balances do not remain for long on our books, we have added to the internal unit of the department, internal audit unit of the department, service providers who are assisting with the investigation so that we can conclude them by the end of March 2024. This is an analysis of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that I have referred to on both accounts. And on irregular expenditure, National Treasury did assess some of the applications which we made before, and they referred back 8.3 billion to the department. Those are the incidents which involve, for example, Guyana, where we still have court cases, and SIU is still investigating some of the cases that we are having on our register, and we are still hopeful that we will meet our target of concluding the investigations for the 2 billion as well as the 5.7 billion. The 8 billion that has been referred back to the department, we have concluded our internal departmental investigations. It's just a matter now of the police as well as the SIU to conclude on those. The next slide, Chapter 10, they provide the status of the project which have been under condonation from Guyana, the upgrading of Together for the Toll Scheme, as well as the All Leaks project. That matter as well, there's also an application by the SIU for a proclamation, so we await those processes to be concluded. The same with the bucket eradication project. We still have to finalize the project to enable us to be able to get full coordination from National Treasury. Okay, so these are some of the cases that are part of the condonation. And as indicated, the unauthorized expenditure, those cases are now being processed through Parliament. The graph that I referred to earlier on is this one, and we are hopeful, Chairperson, that as we move towards 23-24, that goal of ensuring that we eliminate this improper expenditure will be realized. We can see the trend that is going down over the years. In the current reporting period 22-23, on the main account, we have recorded a million there, which has already been condoned now. We don't have that irregular expenditure in the subsequent financial year. And then on the water trading entity, those relate to recurrent contracts, which hopefully, as well as we go into 23-24, would have concluded on those projects, and we shall await finalization of investigations to enable the National Treasurer or Accounting Officer to finalize the condonation. Slide 48 is just an analysis of what we have identified as some of the root causes for this irregular expenditure. It proceeds up until slide 49. Slide 50 is a register where we keep all those condonations that we have received from National Treasury, and I can confirm, Chairperson, that we have complied with all those requirements that are listed there underneath the table. We have to do a confirmation and determination test that indeed these are irregular expenditures. We have to make sure that if there are any losses, those are recovered, and then if there are fraudulent or criminal activities, those have to be reported to the police. And as we have previously reported, these investigations are very important, for example, on the matter of CEF and the UOH. The department managed to recoup quite a lot of money that we have reported to the portfolio committee. So there is the essence of having to perform a detailed investigation before you conclude on these cases. There was also an indication that on the task base, yes, we do have challenges. We are working very close with National Treasury as well as COCTA. We are taking a sector-wide approach with regards to recovery of revenue. There are challenges at the municipal space, but we are working with them to make sure that we recover the current debt. There are historic debts that might be difficult to recover, but we're entering into agreements with those municipalities and make sure that they honor the current account. We continue to engage with SALGA as well as FOCTA and Treasury as part of the IGR intervention. Chairperson, this is a last slide. The annexures provide a lower level detail per province and per municipality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want us to give you this report and then we'll talk to the other one. Thank you for the presentation, DG and the team at FNFDF. Can I see hands that want to speak to the report? Honorable Leon. That's all. Honorable Nicola, Honorable Seki, and Seki. Okay. That's it, you
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just a question on the rollover.
Mr. Phillips, he is refusing for us to call him Mr. Basol. Don't
he is very old.
We call him by name because we are undermining him. When you call him Mr. Basol, he complains.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the rollover, I just want to find out whether there's any feedback from National Treasury that has been approved. Maybe in general, just a question on the split of City Bank into Bloom and Magaliesberg Water, the losses that occurred by municipalities not paying City Bank, what happened to that? Maybe if you could just give us an idea how you fund that, and whether that's not going to leave that Bloom and Magaliesberg in a problem in future. And then lastly, the bucket eradication program. Are we intending handing that over to Human Settlement, or are we going to carry on with the bucket eradication? Because that's a moving target, and it will always be with us. And I really think that should, you know, that should be dealt with by Human Settlement. So can I get an indication on that? Thank you.
Chen, my name is just one question. The page here, the rollovers, I think it's page 32. I want to make sure I understand these figures. Okay, it's 722. And then I think on another page I've seen 723. Where you were summarizing the expenditure for the year, but I think it's the second page under finance. The other one, Chair, I'm not sure how do we report this Kiani project, because yes, it's intended to supply 55 villages, but it has been segmented. Because the current project is not reaching the 55. And then now when we talk to community out there, when we mention 55, they said, what you have given us is not going to have 55. Can't remember, they were mentioning like something like 23. Probably the 55 is going to come in another project. So our communication must not fuel anger on the ground. If we could, probably the phases, yes, the intention is to reach 55, but the reporting process in terms of financial allocation must talk to what it is on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
Let me also go to that page of rollover, which speaks to the budget eradication and the Guiana water recirculation to villages. I really don't understand, Chairperson, because we went to precinct with regards to the budget eradication and also the report that we received from the department when we were in the state. It was saying something else that these projects are going to be completed soon. But I can see here it seems like now they are talking about delays due to inadequate engineering. It seems like now we are shifting now to other things. So I just want to get a clarity on this one, what is happening in terms of this one. Even today, in this one of the end of the circulation, when we were there, we were told that they'll be done soon, in few months. So, but we can see now we are still requesting funds all over. It seems like this thing is not going to happen anytime soon. Chairperson, when you go also to page 16 of the presentation, the page talks about the annual update of the National Water and Sanitation Master Plan. So my question is, how effective is the use and the implementation of the imperative contained in the master plan? Has the department undertaken any study on the value added of the master plan? And then when you go again, Chairperson, on page 21 of the presentation talk of the draft regulation for the advancement of water allocation reform. Although, Chairperson, this process is on hold now, what are the key regulatory aspects that the department hopes to attain in this regard? And the other thing is the issue of the water board being reconfigured. So what are the challenges? Can the department tell us what is the challenge in terms of that? On page 27, Chairperson, what are the key issues that require attention on improving Section 63 intervention? Has the department undertaken maybe the previous studies on challenges on Section 63 intervention? And what mitigating measures were used to address these? Thank you. Oh, Chairman, I also forgot something. There's another issue of also non-payment of invoices. I think that issue is on, I forgot the page. Yeah, on page 32. They are talking about their project that has been affected by payment processing errors in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal are part of the rollover request. Chairperson, the department is actually having a serious issue. I think the department today must assist us in terms of that. We are getting so many issues from the ground of people that come to us and say that we have done the work with the department, but we have not yet received our payment. And those companies that we are speaking about here, we are speaking about companies of BEE. And those people are affected in terms, I've got an email, I think recently I was even speaking to the DG about it, because these people come to us to complain and say that we've done the work, but the department is failing to pay us. Instead, the department end up going to court with these people. When they go to court, they incur extra charges if those people win the cases. How is the department going to sort these things off? So many people on the ground complaining that they have done the work with the department, but they are not paid. And for that matter, those people are our African brothers and sisters who came and worked with the department, but the department at the end doesn't want to pay them. Can they give us clarity on in terms of that? Thank you.
So thank you very much, Chair. Let me also appreciate the presentation by the department and also acknowledge the progress made in terms of the performance as compared to the last year. And we really appreciate the intervention of the minister or the ministry in terms of the work that they are doing in our country. Chair, the Deputy Minister, we welcome the district development model as it was launched by the President and its intention generally and expected to be implemented as a tool to advance the service delivery challenges. But since its inception, we have the report of work within that model being compiled, and what are the findings within the water and sanitation sector. There was a slide which speaks to the jobs created, I think it's 385, I just want to check whether these jobs, 185 jobs were created within the fourth quarter or for the entire year, given the amount of billions of money that are allocated to this department. on the Bagat eradication program, we're hoping that this program will be completed in October, because when we visited Free State, the initial target was the 31st of March, the deadline actually, but it was then, given the challenges that the CFO has presented, and some of them, we have seen them when we were there, there were revised deadlines of October, so we are hoping that the department will be able to rescind that line. I think we are also tired as members of parliament dealing with this and raising this matter each and every year. So we're hoping that we will be able to reach this deadline of October. Our country is facing enormous challenges generally regarding this budget system, especially in the informal settlement. As Honourable Leon was saying, that the moving target. And given the challenges of water scarcity in our country, don't you want to explore some innovations where we use less water? I know the Water Resources Commission can assist in that regard. In Mopani, I know this issue was discussed in our report, in our oversight to Limpopo. In Mopani district, there's this wastewater treatment plant, CFO and DG. The water treatment plant, which was built and worked for 2 months. Initially, that's it's a new treatment plant, actually. I know you know it. And it's not working as we're speaking. Is it part of the investigation? The list of cases that are identified in that list that you have just presented. There is also a budget which was allocated to the disestablished City Bay Water Board. Can you explain further on what was the budget for? And then the last one is, how far are we in terms of addressing the water infrastructure in KwaZulu-Natal, as government is spending a lot of money in water tankers? Let's check. I think those are my questions.
Thank you, DM and the DG. Just one or two questions or comments on my side. On page 22, the posture of the reporting is a little worrisome to me. For instance, if you look at the percentage of things that you did not achieve if the percentage that you are not spending on, if the percentage of them very small, of course, 40%, 20%, 14%. But I'm sure we need to, when we report that, explain the bigger issues, why are we not achieving. But if it's that number, then what, for example, non-achievement sometimes needs something 15%, 20%. It's understandable. But if it is not said, it is that number, it is what is spoken to on numbers, it might give a wrong impression. But to me, I'm a little bit very appreciative of the fact that as of where we were and where we are, today, where there are problems, you know where is the problem. And you know what is the problem. You, most of the time, do have an answer to those problems. It's a time frame that might be a problem. So it's better that if that definition is consistent, that somebody must not believe that you did not achieve certain things because you are not aware what is the problem. It is very important. Then on page 2, the issue of the non-payment of the Eastern Cape and the Kailat End in terms of their money Fortunately, in the morning I was in a meeting of the flood. The flood affects the both Eastern Cape, Cape and Northland. And the bigger issue is what Honorable Musala is asking. If it is not explained, I know you know, but you are not just saying it because you do not want to maintain the politics of the issue. Most of the people that come and complain that they are not paid or they are not paid in time, it is on the basis of us having not paid because either the prices are inflated, secondly that the work claimed for is not being done, and therefore there's a redo and the recalculation of those particular amounts, and it goes beyond the time frame of payment. And I'm sure if it is explained, we must not believe that what Colonel Bumzala is asking is complaining. It's because she seeks to want to know what is the cause of that. And in the issue of our, because I'm a member of the flood, we get proper explanation of why things are not paid. Others were paid in time, others shall not be paid at all, because you find that somebody is claiming that he worked on the road in Tonga, and he claims 1 million rand. When you go there, that Tonga road is not being done. And unfortunately, today we're receiving in the portfolio, in the flood, the report by the Auditor General, who is even showing us photos and explaining that this is been claimed for, but this is the state of the project. Therefore, payment will not be done up until. So, but if it is explained, and I'm sure it might even answer the people that say, generally, not only to me, to Honorable Khaled, even to myself. Unfortunately, one of the people that did raise the issue in Demungeni River, who was a board member, but he was having problems with us. On the basis of him being not paid, and whatever he did not do, and he was taking DG Phillips hard on the issues that he wanted to pay things that was not in that. So, and once they don't explain them, they create as if there's something wrong. So must just explain them. The page 35 and page 36. It is satisfying most of the, in page 35, we want to appreciate the fact that all the money you spend, that people applied for, you paid to them. And I must appreciate that point. But the bigger issue then is the first page 36, whether did they spend the money?
Yeah.
That's very important. You have given them 100% of what they must have. Eastern Cape has spent only 69% of that money. It's a problem. Free State, we must appreciate them, they spend 100%. And Free State on average, they only spend 21%. Mm. It's a problem. Gauteng, they spend 58%. It's a problem. KZN have spent zero. Oh. Zero. Limpopo, the biggest amount of them all, 711 million, they spend 99%, the highest spender, and you must appreciate them for that. Mpumalanga, of course, 385 million, but they spend 100%. Northern Cape, 51. Northern Cape, again, on average, 92%. And you must appreciate Northwest and Western Cape, they spend 100%. But then on the second page of page 37, again, Eastern Cape 59, Free State 17, KZN again 0, Western Cape, another Cape 25, Western case this time zero spending. We must be worried the people, because where we do not spend, it means we are giving less service to our people. And the people complain of government that they're not do work, when in actual fact money is given to municipalities and municipalities does not spend. And it is an outcry in the country of non-service delivery issues. So, more especially on the issues of grants money, grants that is very much said, go and do roads, don't do water sanitation and so forth and so on. It is not done. It's a worrisome issue. Finally, the budget eradication. And I think we need to separate in explanation where are we in the budget eradication. We are dealing with budget eradication on formal settlement as of that time prior to the 1994 issue. So this is the formal budget system which in the formal house,
yes.
It does not talk to budget toilets in the informal settlement that is a moving target. So that moving target does not affect this one. But here, we are talking about a specific number, 1,400 and something, I think. I'm not sure what to say. The number is low. It is in Free State. It is in Northern Cape. So this one shall not move to human settlement. Remember, it was in human settlement gave it to HDA could not do it, it was brought back to us. It is because we need to deal with that packet eradication. And of course, as and when we have finished a regulation that particular full statement, we will have to hand it over to human settlement when it is done, because only human settlement will deal with the human packet system at the residential area. So it is, we must not complicate it with the consist. There are people who are consistently farming on informal settlement growth. Somebody said with me here. Yes, so you are farming on informal settlement. You are promoting occupation of land without compensation. So you will then have consistent informal market system in an informal, because it's a moving term. But this one is known, it is targeted, it must be finished within a certain period of time, and it must be finished about it. So any other thing that will be market system, which will be dealt with human settlement, this one is ours, we must finalize it, and should be within that time. When we left Gianni, remember, there were 24 communities that were supposed to be dealt with in the financial year 24-25. So others were going to be finished in this year, but others were in 24-25, and it was going to be dealt by Mopani. So I'm simply saying, DG, there is sense of where we are, and we have moved from where we were. We are somewhere, but there is also a sense of where we are going. That's important, but I think we need to be upfront in communicating that which we have achieved, that which we are going to be achieving at a certain time, that which will be going to a very long term on the basis of the challenges that we are going to be facing. If we can separate those, we will be in a position to stand in front of people to explain where we are. But if we don't want to explain them, people might label us of not having done anything, when in actual fact, there is not light, there is a destination at the end of the tunnel. But we must talk about it. We must talk about it. And I've been saying this, DG, that we should do that. But the issue of, for instance, we are being blamed, and I am also blaming you sometimes to say, why are you not employing people when people of South Africa are unemployed? But then in the right-hand field, you are writing that, yes, we have got so many positions that we were supposed to fill, but because in the process of us doing work, we are also asked to prioritize certain positions and stop with others. Therefore, the numbers grow. Explain. Let people know that it's not because you are taking a deliberate decision not to want to have unemployment to go down in South Africa, but there are things that dictate that you do things in a certain way. But say it. Say it. Because if you don't say it, some people will say it on your behalf, and you must not necessarily say the correct thing.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Just on the last point that you just made on us communicating the good things that comes out, especially with the project. And I want to say part of it, firstly, you would have noticed the upgrade of the olifants at the Nebra water supply. It's also an example of that collaboration that really went well with the Lebelle Water Board. And this is part of the project that, you know, cumulatively expended 100% against the final budget, that the achievement demonstrates that commitment. Another one, you would have the Pilanesberg Bulk Water Supply Scheme, the Phase 3, that was implemented jointly by Bojanala Platinum District and Magaliesberg Water Board. And this project did not only address the water supply, but it also contributes to the economic growth and improved living conditions. You would also have matters of the reconfiguration of water boards, and that's something that we need to also speak about. There's just a lot that has been coming out, including the Umswati Regional Bulk Water Supply Scheme, in the Mgungurovu district, municipality, Mkumazi bulk water supply scheme, that has made significant strides in meeting water demands. And you are correct, Chair. So I'm trying to demonstrate that there is a lot that has been happening, and it's quite important that we need to speak about this matter. As a result, I will also propose that perhaps the department needs to give us, or rather submit to the committee, a presentation, it's not a slide, where we speak about each and every province, and we're able to pin in so far what you're saying, Chair. This is what, in the short term, the long term, that what we have achieved in this province, in this municipality, in this district, and this is where we are in terms of progress. And also speaking to what Honorable she speaks about, to say that let us be able to pin and be able to say this is the benefit, employment, and this is where we are recording insofar as this work is concerned. I've noticed a number of issues that Honorable Members have raised, but let me leave the administrative matters and give back to the DG. He would have listened from Honorable Leon and Mutala on matters, including what Honorable Mutala speaks about on the regulations. We do have the regulations, the DG is here, and on issues that we really feel that we need to bring to our attention. Honorable Becky spoke about rollovers, and they are coming on, I think there's two, including Honorable Mashiko and Honorable Masaya that spoke about that. I think there's a number of issues administratively that you need to answer on achievements and the reasons that we would have achieved. But the rollovers, and Honorable Grace says to us, the 185 jobs created is within this quarter, can we explain that situation? But I like the explanation of the Chair when he speaks about the budget eradication, said he has covered me, for us to be able to understand it for what it is. But let me leave all these questions. I think where you are not covering any questions of one has been noted, and we'll come back to yourself. Over to you, Chief, you'll declare according to.
Thank you, Chairperson DM. We haven't yet received feedback from National Treasury about our request for rollover. The question about the split of City Beng into Bloem Water and Magaliesberg Water. The first point to make is that water boards don't receive any money from the fiscus. Water boards, in terms of the country's fiscal model, are financially self-sustaining. So there's no room in the budget anywhere in money given to us or anywhere for money to be given to water boards. So when a water board goes bankrupt, there's no possibility of them giving money. Sedibeng Water went bankrupt, which meant that it was unable to even buy chemicals within the water treatment works. It was unable to pay staff. So it was potentially a disastrous situation, because it would have meant that it was unable to keep providing clean water to those towns that it serves. We asked National Treasury if they could give us a special allocation to bail out Sedibeng. They did initially give us an initial relatively small amount, or they allowed us to reprioritize our budget. And then we asked them for a second time, because the Sedibeng Water were not improving, and the root cause of it is non-payment by the municipalities, particularly Machabeng, which owes more than 5 billion rand to Sedibeng Water. The second time, when Sedibeng Water became bankrupt for a second time, we went to Treasury and we asked again for approval to reprioritize our budget and give some money to Sedibeng. National Treasury refused, on the grounds that the water boards are supposed to be financially self-sustaining. The only option that we had was to, in order to keep service delivery going, was to close Sedibeng and transfer their geographic areas to Mafalis and Bloem. But we knew when we were doing that we weren't solving the underlying problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very worrying, because we don't know what's going to happen when Bloem and Mafalis end up in a similar financial situation. If the current trends continue, they will eventually end up in a similar situation, because Machabeng's debt is still owed.
Mm.
When all the assets of Sedibeng were transferred to Mahalis and Bloem, but also their liabilities. So the debts owed to Sedibeng are now on Bloem and Mahalis' books. And there was no money given to Mahalis and Bloem, because both water boards are supposed to be financially self-sustaining. So Bloem and Mahalis have inherited the debts owed by Machabeng and other municipalities in the area. And unless that underlying problem is addressed, we eventually in the future will have a similar problem with Mahalis and Bloem. The bucket eradication program, in a sense, National Treasury has defined responsibilities for sanitation, and that funding for sanitation infrastructure in metropolitan municipalities comes through the Urban Settlement Development Grant. We're not allowed to use our RBIC grant or our WISIC grant to give money to metropolitan municipalities. We do have overall responsibility for the sanitation function. So remember, at one point the sanitation function was linked to human settlements, and the president took a decision to take it back and join it with water, because there's very close links between water and sanitation. There's a cycle, the water cycle. Fresh water is taken from rivers, it's treated. When you finish using the water, it goes into the sewage system, it goes back into the rivers. So you need to manage that whole cycle comprehensively, and that's why the sanitation function was taken back to the Department of Water and Sanitation. So we do have, while the money for metropolitan, the grants to metropolitan municipalities for sanitation infrastructure is in the USDG, which is under the Department of Human Settlements, we have the overall responsibility for policy making regarding sanitation. And we have now gotten cabinet approval for a national sanitation framework, which makes it very clear that the bucket system is completely unacceptable and must be outlawed. So we are currently in the progress of revising the minimum norms and standards in terms of the Water Services Act, which will make it clear that the bucket system is an unacceptable form of sanitation and cannot be used in municipalities. With the other amendments that we're looking at to the Water Services Act, we should be able to take regulatory compliance actions against municipalities which still issue buckets. So as you indicate, Honourable Bosson, some municipalities are still issuing buckets in new informal settlements as we speak. The only way to address that is for us to revise the norms and standards in terms of the Water Services Act, and the interregulatory actions against them. So that's the way we are planning to deal with that issue. Honourable Mufala, with regard to your question about payment to companies, we don't refuse to pay companies because we don't want to pay them or because we want to delay payment to them. We have to be very careful that we always pay companies if they've done the work that they were asked to do, and if the work has been properly done and if the invoices are on order and regular. Sometimes we get into disputes with suppliers where we are of the view that the payment is not due, they're overclaiming, or the work hasn't been done properly. So we don't take companies to court because they simply don't want to pay. If we do pay when the work hasn't been done properly or if the invoice isn't in order, then it will be defined as a regular expenditure, which we have to avoid. But when we do have disputes with companies, we try out both to resolve them amicably and to assist the companies to resolve the issues. But sometimes it results in a situation where there isn't agreement and it ends up in the courts. But if there are specific examples on Vumasala, please send me the details and I'll give you feedback to look into the individual cases and give you details of what the progress is and what the issues are. Also the question on Bumafala about the rollovers related to the related to Franz is going to come in on KZN, but related to the bucket eradication program, we're not shifting the funds for other things. We're asking Treasury for a rollover because we have the money contractually committed. But the projects, for the reasons given in the presentation, proceeded slower than expected. So the money, if and when Treasury approves the rollover, the money will be used to finish those projects. So the money hasn't been shifted to other things. If Treasury doesn't approve the rollover, we'll have to reprioritize some of our other money to make sure that those projects are finished. With regard to the question about the regulation with regard to transformation of water use rights, it's a little bit complicated because we are in the process of amending the National Water Act. The bill was issued gazetted for public consultation. We're now finalising this. Drawing together all the comments, and we'll be shortly going to Cabinet for approval for submission of the amended National Water Act to Parliament. And there's some relatively minor but important amendments in the amended bill, which will enable the Department to be in a better position to take action to try and achieve transformation targets with regard to water use rights. So when this target was originally formulated, about issuing regulations, it was done with under consideration that those amendments would have been completed, but they haven't yet been submitted to Parliament. So though the originally considered regulations would have been done in terms of the amended Act, but you would have seen from the media that we've been able to issue regulations in terms of another part of the Act, and we have issued draft regulations for public comment which are aimed at us achieving higher levels of transformation with regard to water use rights. So we found another way of implementing that, given that the National Water Act amendments haven't yet been completed. With regard to Honourable Turkey, the Giani project, the project is fully funded. It's been done in phases. So perhaps people didn't understand that idea of the phases. So it isn't the case that there's one project per phase. The whole project consists of a number of phases. By the time the project is finished, all 55 villages will be reticulated. Mm-hmm. Then I'd like Franz to come in to assist with a number of the questions. Franz?
Thanks, PG. Just on the rollovers, the 773 million is the total unspent for the CAPEX allocation, but only 723 million qualified for they met the definition of and the requirements set by Treasury. And as DG indicated, we will be getting the outcome of the application later on during the midterm budget adjustment. All that we have been having now with Treasury is just exchange of documents in support of the 722 that the Honourable Member was referring to. And part of the invoices for KwaZulu-Natal, also DG touched on that there were challenges, specific issues around invoices. It was water tankering. We did present to the Portfolio Committee before as well that we also had AG performing real-time audit. So there were specific discrepancies that were noted on those invoices where prices were more than what was charged to the municipality. So we had to return those. There was a process, but later on the service provider complied and it was already an year-end. And as indicated, those invoices had to do also with systems challenges that we have experienced. So it wasn't deliberate that they were not paid at the end of the financial year. We are adhering to PFMA compliance requirements in relation to the in payment of invoices. If there are cases, as DG indicated, it would be either there are lapses in the system, but mostly is where there are disputes and possible irregular expenditures which requires us to look more into those. And regarding the water treatment plan, DG, I think the ones that we're referring to under irregular expenditure, those are the historic Kiani cases, and it wasn't referring to the one that the Honourable Member was referring to, the temporary functioning of the water treatment plant. I think we can provide a report back on that one. The one under investigation is the bigger Kiani that was implemented by Lebelle Northern Water before. So the invoices we have covered, DG, I think you have also covered the issues of Mopani. Yes, it is in phases, and I'm not sure that, I think you have covered everything, DG, on the payment of invoices. Yeah.
Or jobs created.
Or CDV.
Do you want to come in on the issue of the water treatment works and those are your investigations?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, members and Chairperson. In terms of the investigation on the treatment plant, the package plant, there's been no investigation from the SIU, neither from the department, that has been conducted in that plant. And as CFO has indicated, thank you.
Obama, there were several questions as well that you could assist with, please.
Thanks, DG. The first one that I would like to respond to talks to the master plan. As you recall, the master plan was published in 2018, and it is a sizable document that has got several activities on infrastructure skills and everything, water conservation and demand management. What the department has been doing over the years was to currently update bits and pieces of the document. But as you see that we're now in 2023, and it's a long time ago, so it's dated. So we're going to do an overhaul review of the entire master plan document so that we can publish an up-to-date document going forward. So that is the process that we're actually doing. And considering to put it together, it takes quite several years and the various stakeholders that are participating in it. So it is one activity that we're planning to implement going forward. And then the second one relates to the job opportunities. There are three infrastructure-based programs that we contribute to job opportunities. what Honorable Peggy saw was just one component of it, which relates to infrastructure development. And operations and maintenance also contribute to that, and our bulk infrastructure grants contribute to that. And the way we have crafted our personnel indicates to just the one component of it. So the 185 that you saw, it is the total number that was just only contributing by the one program, which is infrastructure development. But if you look at slide 23, there is now bulk infrastructure contributing about 872 of the job, which is the total for the year. And then if you put the three together, you get just over 1,000 job opportunities that is created over the year. 23. And then the last one that came from the chairperson is how we are presenting the underachievement, particularly related to the funds. In slide 22, we present just the level of underperformance, but the explanation comes in a subsequent slide, slide 26. In slide 26, we actually detail on the number of projects that we have planned to achieve. So you see that there was an annual target of 67 projects that we should have had under construction. We managed to do 65, and providing the reasons for the two that we have not been able to start with the construction. Similarly, with those that we had planned to have completed, we had planned to have completed 50, and the total of 5 was which we managed to do for the year. And to provide reasons for the 8 that we have not been able to complete for the financial year. So we provide the reasons in the subsequent slide, chairperson. And also just the last one for the honorable members, just to give you the numbers in relation to the bucket eradication, this is now my last one. There are now currently a total of 10,798 buckets and systems that we plan to eradicate, of which 10,202 are in the Free State and 596 are in the Northern Cape. And the four municipalities that are affected, the three that are in the Free State is Ngetwana, Sesotho and Tokoloko, and then the one that is in the Northern Cape is Siyanin. Thank you, teachers.
Yeah, thanks, DG. The question on CD Bing was responded to by the DG, but the allocation was once off, as DG indicated, through the approval of Treasury for the establishment support, including also due diligence reviews that had to be done by both Mahalis and Bloom on some of the work that they were taking over. So that was the once off. But it was also a question around KZN and the water tankering there.
Yeah.
We have an allocation of a total 2.2 billion and water boards 738 million and then under regional bulk infrastructure grant 463 million and water services 1 billion. So there is an effort to actually develop infrastructure within the region with this investment of 2.2 billion in 1 year. So over the MTF that will work out above 5 billion. But the details, as I've indicated, of all these municipalities are part of the annexure to the presentation.
Thank you. And then finally, Masala, to what's coming on the BEP?
I think you've covered everything. Thank you.
Good morning, Bada. I see your mouth is opening. just hold on. Maybe unless there are some follow-up questions that want to be made, that when you close it, close one. Any other follow-ups?
Thanks very much. The question that was raised by Che, I think, has not been responded to in terms of, unless I've missed it, in terms of the grants that were allocated to provinces, but on the other side, it's 100% on the other side disbursed, But in terms of the implementation, it's 0, it's 10, it's 12, it's 15. So yeah, we wanted that explanation and the support that you're going to give to those municipalities. And on the teaching, your budget generally is way above the more than 70 billion that you appropriate in the government. And the number of job opportunities that you are creating, unless you are not consolidating everything, maybe reports from different municipalities, different projects, it cannot be. Throughout the year, 1,000 jobs created, it cannot be. Vis-a-vis the number of projects that you are implementing on the ground and the amount of money that you are dispensing to either water boards and municipalities, it can't be. Maybe you need to go back and reconsolidate your figures so that you can be seen as creating more jobs as in the water sector. And also in terms of your Babal, I think we have been consistent as a portfolio committee on the issue of procurement on the designated set aside. It can be projects or companies owned by young people. It cannot be 6%. We have just allocated to 6%. It cannot be, and it can be. If there are those, we don't have those companies, I think you can partner with NYTA. Go to their website or National Treasury, just try to find out, do we have companies that are owned by young people? It cannot be in a country that is, you know, having more young people. And majority of them are not working. Yes, others are working, they've created companies, women are there. At least on the women's side, you are doing better. But in terms of young people, it can be. And you know, young people will protest to you, Deputy Minister.
Mm.
Yeah, they say the President has deployed young person in that sector.
Mm.
And on the other side, you are giving them this just 6% out of the entire budget. It cannot be. It can be. I think we must change the strategy. We must find strategies of empowering young people. There's no way. You know, there was a program on horn leaks before. And I know it was regular at some point, you discussed a lot about it. But those young people are still at home, CFO. They are still at home, we have trained them, we have spent a lot of money. Municipalities can absorb them, we know the challenges that are facing municipalities, but they are still at home. Can't we be innovative? You know, the premier of counting. Arrogant in terms of creating jobs in Gauteng. You know, it's radical actually in terms of creating jobs in Gauteng. Can't we be innovative as the department? Those young people are many in all the provinces. I know even in my province, in my municipality, we do have those young people who have been trained in the whole on leaks. Can't we create some jobs regarding the whole the leaks in government, the leaks in the country? It's about 40%. Can't you make sure that you absorb them somewhere, somehow, or okay? And then the last issue is on that package plant in the Nsami. We have dispersed a lot of money to build that package plant. I don't know how much has cost the government to build that package plant. We went there twice or thrice, check. I know you know that package plant. Honorable Muslim, I know. She does have passion for that. But there's no way that we can just leave it like that. Now they're repairing the old one. This other one. They're repairing this old one. But that other one, that's there. It's just a white elephant. And you are saying, Ms. Ufundaku, you are saying we are not investigating that. But you have pumped a lot of money in that package plant. Why are we not investigating it? Are we happy about the situation? Are we comfortable that money of government has been spent for nothing? Just a white elephant standing there. The president has launched it, former president Zuma, launched it, then what? it cannot be. It can be. Maybe in future, in the next quarter, you will have to give us a report on that. We are not happy. We went there, we have seen it, we are not happy. Thanks very much. Check.
No, I think there must be a difference between asking questions of clarity or position making. We are given as answers. For instance, as I have been saying, is taken. Your answer that you are not investigating the parking plan is not satisfied. You don't want to answer to satisfy her by answering her. We are, it means we must resolve that we demand that investigation be done, rather than expecting you to answer what we are going to do it or not. Because the fact of the matter is, politically, we believe there must be an investigation for us to get to understand where the money went to. So even if we can raise it as a question 50 times, we're still going to give us the same answer. We did not investigate, but we are saying, we want to investigate and want to understand what is it that you are going to do to make use of the money that we use there in that particular plan. The other question, Honorable Seke, and I can see it becoming consistent in the department. I'm sure the minister last in the last meeting answered this question of the war on leaks. He gave a simple answer. There is a leak in personal matters. You send somebody to Rhodes University to go and learn about the leak. It does not serve the purpose of the department. The department wants the leak to be repaired today. This man go for 4 years in university. When he comes back, the leak is still there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. So, meaning, whether there is still young people who went to university for war or leaks, by implication, the intention was never that the department is wanting to employ them, was for them to be ready to be used where the leaks is happening. The leaks happen at the local municipality. So you need to come to that point to give us an answer. If indeed you are still, there is still room for you to absorb them, give us the time. If not, give us an answer. Whether we like it or not, give us that answer. We are not going to absorb them because they are not part of what we want to do. Say so. Then we know how to move with it forward. But if it doesn't get said, an impression is created that it is our liability that they are not employed, therefore we need to make space. But if you say it, you don't have to tell us everything that you want to hear, what we'll be happy about. Say, tell us the correct thing, even if it is painful. Say it. And then we can start living with the pain and find a way of seeing a doctor or going to a witch doctor. Because there are doctors that witches sometimes. It can be better. Honorable Leon and then Honorable Mosala.
Thank you, Chair. thank you, DG, for the explanation on the Sally Beng issue. But, DG, if we don't address the problem, and that's the municipality, we're really setting up Bloemwater and Magalie for failure.
You don't have to represent your area of operation. That was your municipality.
They're setting up the town for failure, not the department. So if we can't get something in place to make sure that the municipalities pay, and I don't have an answer, there's a lot of talking of top slicing, of equitable share and all those kind of stuff, but if we really don't succeed in getting that problem solved. These two municipalities in 2 years' time, they bankrupt, then we give it to Rand Water, and 2 years later they bankrupt, and then we've got a problem. So, and I know it's not the department alone, it's also COFCA that needs to deal with this, but there must be something we can do to get our water boards to survive where municipalities don't pay. And now it's easy to say, well, they don't give water, but the people demand water. It's their right to have water. So I know it's a catch-22 situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to find out that, and we've got to get a solution to resolve this problem. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks so much, Chairperson. I'm still going to go back to this issue of non-payment of invoices, Chair. You know, the issue I'm talking about is the issue that came in 2019 when we started in this Parliament, to say that a person writing us an email to say that we have not yet been paid by the Department. And as the Economic Freedom Fighters, we raised this issue in Parliament. There was no answer to that. This person came now and wrote another email to us to say that we're still having a problem. And to just give you clarity of what is happening, this is the contract that happened.
The DG said on those specifics, please speak to him off record rather than in a meeting sitting and talk about one particular...
It's not one, they are a lot.
I'm simply
yeah.
saying, for us to speak specifically on the non-payment of certain people, it will be a dire situation. If the meeting can note that there is an issue raised by the Economic Freedom Fighters on the matter of non-payment of contractors, The DG has taken note, you want to get specific, and in the next meeting, we want the European answer in effect, it will be better. Give him specific a name, contact us, in this case, give you back and report them to the committee, if not
the DG. Alright, no, we'll send it to the DG. But what I wanted to emphasize, Jefferson, is let's not change the image of the department. Let us be sorted as soon as possible, because this issue is, according to what these people are saying, is an issue of water on leaks of when the President Zuma was still there. A long term issue, and people are saying that we have not yet been paid. It's the same as this one of where we have employed activists, we have paid activists, today they are not hired. Let's not change the image of the department. If a person did something wrong, he did not work, answer the person. Because when we interpret that thing and ask this person, is there something wrong? They don't know what is the problem. It's just that the department is upset. They don't want to pay them. So let's sort all those issues, because they are old issues and they are really irritating when people send us emails and say that the government doesn't want to pay us on what we have worked for. And there's no response from the government side. Chairperson, the other issue, I saw somewhere, but I don't find it now. They said that the DG who was the deputy or the DDG who was employed without following proper, I think it's somewhere in the report. It was a reason. Can they give us the clarity what happened? Unless maybe if I've read another report and then I'm missing it with this one. But one of the reasons somewhere was that the DDG, the DDG was hired. No, let's talk about this thing. So can they report and tell us what was there?
2012.
Sorry?
2012.
Where's that?
Why was Uba Tanga 2012?
Oh, but why is this wrong now? Let's allow them to respond. Because we don't understand why something of 2012 is still now reflecting here. And we thought they are doing something proper now. So we saw the DDG. Now being employed. Can we get an answer on that?
But okay, let's try to answer that question specifically of a DDG that was illegally employed or wrongly employed at those years that it happened, if it did.
So, Chair, there are several questions, so we go through them all. On the package plant that's been talking about in Fomia, I've been informed that this package plant in question was built by Mokwane District Municipality using MIG money. and big money isn't provided by us and by Costa. So I will ask our internal audit to have a quick look at it, and if we, if necessary, we can refer it to Cox and ask them to investigate further.
Tomorrow, no hour.
Hello?
Tomorrow, no hour.
Okay, let's see.
On the war on leaks, you're correct, Chairperson. The Minister did answer this the last time. The young people who were employed were trained to do things like repair leaking taps in households. And there's no jobs in government, at municipal level with us, to offer those people to repair leaking taps within households. Our biggest leaks are in the municipal distribution systems, in large pipes, which requires heavy construction equipment and huge amounts of money to dig out those old pipes and to replace them. It's not something that the young people were trained to do under the War on Leaks program. So I know that at the time of the War on Leaks program, there were efforts to work with COGSA and NISA to try and ask municipalities to employ the people, but the municipalities refused because they said it's not their function to repair leaking taps within private households. On the issue raised by Honourable Masson, I agree it's a very serious problem. The recent Auditor General report on municipalities indicated that one in four municipalities in the country are in doubt as to whether they can continue because their financial situation is so bad.
Mm.
So it's not only Machalis and Blum. We're concerned about the financial sustainability of the whole sector and all the water boards. If this problem of municipalities not paying the water boards isn't addressed, and it is a bigger problem than DWS, it requires a solution to the financial viability of municipalities. So we are going to be. Our minister has written to all the water services authorities and to SALGA, saying that we're intending to strengthen our credit control by standardising credit control across all the water boards. We have had discussions with the National Treasury. They're willing to work with us to withhold conditional grants from municipalities which don't pay the water boards. Some of our water boards will start putting in bulk prepaid meters in some municipalities which don't pay. So these are all quite draconian measures that we're going to be implementing to try and enforce credit control. And we will be implementing all of those measures shortly. They're quite draconian, but the alternative is worse. The alternative is that more water boards might collapse, like City of Water. And the difficulty is that in a municipality, like, for example, the one in Gauteng, Mpumalanga is one of the municipalities which is in dire financial straits. So what has been happening is that Eskom has been attaching their bank account because they haven't been paying Eskom bills, and then as soon as Eskom releases the bank account, Rand Water goes and reattaches it. So we're now in a situation in some municipalities where between our water boards and Eskom trying to get their payments, the municipality just can't meet the payment. Prabhusen, do you want to come in on the 2012 DDG?
No, don't give 2012, I was just saying.
You sound as
if it is, say it better, I don't know.
Then you see, by just to clarify, it was not the DDG, it was the DG, which is the Deputy Director in Limpopo. And the reason why it is still in our books is because it was an irregular until such time that it has been condoned by Treasury, then it will be removed. But just to indicate the processes that... It was 2018,
2018, but just to indicate the processes that we have undergone, we have taken disciplinary action against the officials who were participating in the process. One was given a 3-month suspension without pay, and one was given a final written warning. And those were the senior officials that were involved in the project.
Chairperson, I think France would also like to answer one of the questions.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. It relates to the question by the Chair on slide number 35 and 36. The slide on RBIC and WIS-65, those are purely transfers. I think what we'll do going forward is just to also report to the committee the actual spending by the municipalities. So slide 35 only reflects the amounts we have transferred to. And then the slide which the Chair was comparing to, slide number 36 and 37, that is where the department is directly responsible for the acquisition or construction of water and sanitation infrastructure. So there is where we are able to indicate exactly how much we have spent. But we have noted the point in the next opportunity to will also reflect the actual spending by the municipalities.
Thank you so much, Chair. And I think the questions that really has been raised, the subpoenaed questions, quite important for us to think over. And of course, the response at times don't really necessarily speak to the problem. But like we said when we started, through our the RBIC and WIS-65 funds, we will not be able to solve the problems, share of municipalities and the issues that we're facing by just putting money to the problem and not necessarily dealing with the problem, which takes me to the question that Honourable Grace spoke about when she was asking and said the DDG model is a good model, and I was hoping that DG, you're going to assist me so far as the question that says that has there been any monitoring report in terms of its effectiveness and its interventions thus far, and that I don't have it. However, what I'm aware of, Honourable Grace, is that there has been matters that Department of Water has submitted to the Presidency in terms of service delivery constraints, and specifically in the sector itself. And I think it also kind of draws illustration to the DDGM, because then it speaks to the challenges that the water sector matters need to implement. However, this is the problem that it finds itself into the space. For instance, delays in implementation or surface water resource development projects. And in the past, this has now been addressed, but projects have been accelerated. The main delivery constraints at municipality level, both from the financial and service delivery, sustainability, and deteriorating at municipality level, and that's what you speak about, and this is the challenge that we are having. The debts that are owned by municipalities, as you can hear the discussion that we just had now, municipalities are owing the water board. The case in current is the NCLN, where it's losing about either 40% or 70% of the water. And it's unable to also bill its residents, so it's losing water. At the same time, it's owning the rainwater, the same rainwater that we've appointed to be an implementing agency there, and then municipality owes it over 800 or what have you, million. Then it comes in, it attaches the bank account. Now the issues of payments become a problem and service delivery becomes. So that shows, Honourable Grace, the issues around this DDM model and what it needs to be addressed in here. So this has to be, this water board, at the end of the day, the other ones that find themselves will no longer be supplied with affected health. And there's also issues of, and I think that's very important, the blue drop, green drop, and no drop on our chair. And of course that is published, but it also indicates that
there's a sharp decline in the performance of drinking water portable systems, wastewater systems, at municipality level. Now, that's where the minister comes in and intervenes and provides the support to improve that water service. But in many poor performing municipalities across the country, including the district, and this is an issue that yes, we are saying that we need to intervene, we need to support, at the same time we must make sure that it's sustainable. So now, the intervention and the support that is very necessary, it might not really be sufficient just to hold and reverse the decline in municipality water sanitation services. So this high level of support and intervention by the department, it is slowing the decline in the water sanitation services, so not arresting it, it becomes a reversion as necessary. There's a big issue, Chair, on the maintenance, the cost of the decline of the poor maintenance and operation by municipalities. That responsibility, which must be funded by revenue from the sale of water to municipalities to customers. And the world, the CWS, repeatedly providing municipalities with the support with the grant. Thank you, Honourable Grace, the repair, we fund them with the infrastructure. But then the municipalities don't maintain them and deteriorate again rapidly, then funding needs to be provided again. So you see the cycle and what's happening. Hence it's important, this capacitation of these municipalities. It goes back to what we were discussing now around how do we ensure that this municipality, when we stand all the system, the billing becomes an issue. They don't have meters. So the water is just there. You're providing water that you can't, and you are losing potable water. You are not able to put meters on. So it's just a cycle. So it's quite important that there must be meters. That brings me to what Honourable Grace says, DG. You see, the war on leaks. It was Minister Budafasi. Was it not Budafasi that freaking knew that project? Okay. Alright. So, it's important. That war on leaks, like Honourable Grace says, is quite important because then it speaks to the issue of the artisans, the skills that you developed, that you gave. Now we've got that report, and DC explains that it was not necessarily the function from where we are, but at the municipality level, and we were not being able to be absorbed. But let me tell you, DC, in Hammarskraal, we were with the president, and the president said and gave the instruction that says that in housing was in housing, and we were the premier. Mm. And he said this 6,000 that we've seen coming on here, he gave ministers in front of everybody, the minister, I want the 6,000 jobs on this water and war on leaks. How you do it? You need to find a way. So maybe something that will go by chair and ponder on it and see how do you deal with issues of meters. There's lots of work on the bulk and in the big infrastructure, like you say, is not designed for the youth. We don't know how the youth is built, to be surprised. You think that I'm 30, but I'm really 50 or something. So physics and something else. And so I'm just saying, quite important, the training, the built environment, that is, we make sure that we also empower and prepare. That's the, within the confinement where the president says that, let's deal with this. When you say no drop, report, because we don't want any leak, we don't want any drop. So there is space and where we need to find it and ensure from maintenance point of view, how to put them, the meters, the reading, the leaks and so forth, is something that next we need to look into. Lastly, Chair, the DWS, it is developing this amendment into the Water Services Act, which I want to speak to Honourable Masala, when she says that, where is it, and Section 63, where are the problems that you are encountering in terms of legislation, and where are the matters that you need to intervene on? So I think that I just wanted to say that the amendment to the Water Services Act and what she says, it has to do to strengthen the role of the municipality and the WSA to also enable ministers to intervene effectively, one, to introduce legal requirements that water services can only be provided by entity, municipality or other entity that has not operating license. The details of the license requirements and so forth by the minister, the license requirements and specify minimum competency and so forth, the minimum licensing requirements in the context of specific WSPs will be given such requirements. So those are the issues, and the strengthening of this section S63, it enables enforcement through directives as it is done by the National Water Act. But if you check the last resort after the due process, the minister may enforce the creation of water services function, and this is where we are putting where the problem is and what we need in so far the powers. So that minister is able to put that separation function from the municipality administration where there's persistent failure to meet this license condition and require the municipalities of water services authority to contract with the license WSP. That's the intervention. Let me leave it at that, Chairman. Thank you so much for the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I know that I am not a member of any party.
You? How am I?
I'm not.
You are.
But you members of parties here.
Oh.
Please note that there was a time when we calculated something called basic minimum requirement of people to receive a free basic.
Yeah.
And when we calculate this thing, we calculated it on the basis of the kind of people that we have. We have got people that, for instance, in the far rural areas like my hometown in Bushbuck Ridge, or in KZN, in Limpopo and so forth and so on, it's rural municipalities. Rural municipalities qualify for certain in terms of your
The indigent.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you give them your king budgetary, what is the name of this budget?
Your Kegel suit.
The equitable share in it contains something that people who does not that you accept that these people shall not pay.
Mm-hmm.
On the strength of that you give basic services. For instance, your 3 kiloliters of water, your 9 kiloliters of electricity, and so forth and so on. Now, out of that, South Africa is having 41% of unemployment today, and there is about 11% of people who are living in class, about 11 million people who are living one class, the 350. Of course, there are those that are getting the other class.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you members of parties, what is your role in communicating with those people their responsibilities of paying for services? Whatever the class. Whatever the grant is. So, once we sit in a parliament and we want to defend that there must be no payment of services, but then we say the municipalities must see to that the municipality does not die because there is no money. You are contradicting your very same existence. But our responsibility is to see to it that this board get paid by municipalities, and these municipalities get paid by residents, and these residents are our members. That has given us money to come here and represent them and be paid for that letter. But then the government has not received anything from ourselves in order for us to do that. So it is important that when we plan what that we want to put as a way forward, we take that into consideration. Because, and I can bet you, as Mkala is saying, or Bullion is saying, we have the two municipalities have failed to pay the water board is dead.
Mm.
Fine, who can be happy? So the other, then because the government has got other boards, it keeps two boards, very well working boards, Rainwater, Mahalis. Now you say to Mahalis, take assets and liabilities. The liabilities is so strong that it kills one board, it kills it. So the possibility of one of the two, and I can tell you the first one who died was smaller, is Mahalis. It will die. And then you say, Mahalis, you are dead, it's okay, go back. Remember, the responsibility of giving water to people is not the board, it's the department. Is that the department is allowing the board to be the one that is doing, implementing the board. So as a final analysis, even the department that is seen to be wanting to give water, it will be unable to do so. There are other people who are coming from another party here which used to say in 1955 that there shall be houses in Sokoto.
Yes.
When you ask them, where shall these houses come from, they can't tell you. There shall be water. Where will that water come from? They can't tell you. If Freedom Charter says so, they shall.
Mm-hmm.
But from where? If we do not answer that question, where must this water, this money that must give water to our voters come from, and then work on getting that money from that pond, we will, time will come where this issue of government being giving everything to people will come to an end. So to me, we must apply our mind. The economy of black fighters, they are fighting for the economy, but you don't want to be that economy. You just fight for it.
No, check it in.
Okay.
Check.
Do
you know what is the problem? When you started by giving this meeting an answer, you said South Africa is facing high level of unemployment, 41%. And then you also...
I want to assist you.
So where do people get money to pay these
debts?
Because the crisis is caused by the government, not providing...
Where shall government get money to solve water?
What is the government that failed the people of South Africa ever since 1994? The creation of jobs is the problem.
That's
people are living with 350 grand.
That's
the government
of the
ANC. So hence people are not paying.
You have got people who does not care what must happen tomorrow.
Oh, damn,
but want to pay.
No.
It's unfortunate.
It's really.
Okay. We thank you very much for the presentation, and I'm sure we will do that. At my age, I must have some breaks in
I am 55.
So my age, what does it must break it?
Okay. You look 50, sir.
No, I'm not 50, I'm 55.
You must work on well on it.
Yeah, man.
Let's take a 5 minute break. Bye.
I'm 90% one. They calculate the numbers. They are
I got
accepted the report of someone if there's anything.
Briefing by the Department of Water Sanitation on Amas Cloud Collar Advice. Repair coverage of the railway water system. In advance. When was Section 67 declared? 1990.
Your mic. Share your mic.
No.
Is it on?
No, it wasn't. Okay. We are on 5, briefing by the Department of Water and Sanitation on World Class Cholera Outbreak. In the report we are talking about the Section 63. It is even bloated in red in the report.
The legal action, yes.
The presentation.
Let's hear what
you're saying. Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you for calling us on this important agenda item, particularly because our people are going through the most in terms of the cholera outbreak. However, obviously the focus is on the water because of Karma's ground. So as department or as oversight of water and sanitation, it's quite important that you also are seen in this space for yourself from an oversight body to really ensure that the checks and balances that as a department were putting on were able to respond effectively to this issue. And we would want to also relate our sincere condolences to those who have passed in the state, specifically in the country, but also in Hammersgrove, since we are reporting on it, and it is all just in peace. Chair, you will also recall that Sikkim Planet, it is a water services authority in terms of the Act itself. It does provide water and wastewater management services to various areas in its jurisdiction, including Hammersgrove. Now, the provision of services includes management by Tuane of Rooibal wastewater treatment works and Temba water treatment plant. And both of these plants are not compliant with the standard. The non-compliance has been occurring over an extended period. The department is continuously receiving complaints, Chair, has been receiving these complaints from concerned citizens on this matter. Most of the concerns, Chair, they relate to the poor quality in relation to water quality by Temba water treatment plant. You have, the city of Tuane has 15 wastewater treatment works, and Rooibal is one of the works, and it is located on the upstream of Hammersgrove. And Rooibal is a wastewater treatment work. Effluent has a direct impact on the quality of drinking water treated at Temba, Hammersgrove. The work, Chair, is organically and hydraulically overloaded. The effluent is not meeting the minimum effluent requirement. Rooibal effluent has a direct impact on the quality of drinking water treated by water treatment plant, Temba. Criminal cases, was also opened against, again, matters yet to be finalized. Now, the drinking water treatment and supply by piped water, Chair, the Metropolitan Municipality receives water supply from the following sources. One, 31% of the city of Tuane water supply is from rainwater, 1% from Mahalis water, and 28% water treatment plant owned by the Metropolitan Municipality and Bomo. Mahalis water, through clip drift, supplies water with a capacity of 22 megaliters per day to the eastern part of Hammersgrove. The area supplied includes Marokolong, Babelechi Industry, Ramosi, and the Morotile area. Now, Temba water treatment plant abstracts raw water from Liuxiao Dam, which is constructed on the Epis River. Now, the abstracted water is then processed through the water treatment plant in order to meet the required standard 241-2015 drinking water standard.
the plan has been non-compliant, like you would know now, with color, the taste and the odor, and nitrate, disinfectants, and turbidity. This has been reoccurring over time. The plant has undergone an upgrade of 60 megaliters per day to 120 megaliters per day, treatment capacity. Now, the tender waste, the treatment plant upgrading has been completed. However, due to the poor quality of raw water, the WTP is unable to treat water to the required drinking standard. Hence, what has been said to the community is that they shouldn't drink the water coming from that tap, from that plant. It should be used for other use, laundry and so forth. Now, cholera outbreak in Hammanskraal, Chair, as in short, that we do respond, and in responding, there has been two task teams that have been formed, from a political task team and a task team technically, where we would have the Deputy Minister, Ministry of Health, even the provincial level, at national level, leading edge. Then we'll have the two DMs, Masobo and Chabalala of Sanitation, who sit in that task team. We've got number of other public departments that are sitting in that task team at a political level, including the executive mayor, the municipality manager, and the MMCs and so forth. Then you have the task team at a technical level. That's where everything else is also headed, where you've got the technocrats listed here. Now, the action plan and findings is that the cholera outbreak in Hammanskraal area was first reported on the 20th of May, given the background. After the cholera outbreak, the department intensified the monitoring through collection of water samples at strategic points for analysis, and the points are synchronized with the sequence sampling points. The sampling established the following areas. It was Royval, wastewater treatment works, discharge point, Epis River, abstraction point, rainwater, Mahalis, and point of use tap. Water samples three were taken by the department as well as sequence. The results revealed non-identifiable viable cholera and bacteria. Now, the CSIR took additional samples as well as an independent laboratory. The results are still pending for us to receive them. And the Water Research Commission, as well from our side, is also conducting the research. And as an independent assessor, the results are also still pending. We are yet to receive the results. Drinking water treatment and supply by tinkering as a temporary measure that we have ensued to ensure that people do get water that is possible. So at this point it's through tinkering and the intervention, therefore the city provides that possible water through the deployment of the tankers to affected communities, which are the Kampane, Sirman, Manyeleti, Unit D and Offset. The tankering of this water is still ongoing since October 2018. The R52 contracted rolling water tankers deployed by the Metropolitan Municipality. The water tankers abstract the source from Mahali water by the Lefty Reservoir and Rainwater Session Gobekiti pipeline, which is extended to steam water. Water quality from both Mahali's water and rainwater are compliant with drinking water standards. The SENS 24241-2015. Chair, and the tankering at this point is the CTO 20, and it's Ward 8, 13, 49, 63, 74, 75, 95. And the councillors, we have the names of the councillors of those wards as per the schedule, the four members of the councillors, the residential areas where the tankers are deployed, the service is providers, their names, the number of trucks that they're displaying per day, and also within those wards. You have in Ward 8, 6 trucks, Ward 13, 5 trucks, Ward 49, 6 trucks, Ward 73, 4 trucks, Ward 74, 6 trucks, 75, 8, 6 trucks, Ward 76, 6 trucks, and Ward 95, 8, 5 trucks. So number of trucks allocated to save the aid was in total is 21 trucks, and the number of tankers is 34. Now, the intervention support and partnership for medium and long term that we've been working on ever since the outbreak, we've been on the ground daily. There has been an agreement shared between the minister and the mayor, and that needed to happen. It's unfortunate over the historical time and the political situation, be it at the municipality level, you would understand that at times municipality politically it's not consistent, there's always distractions and so forth. There's not been an appetite to come together with the Department of Water and they can be work together on this issue. The Department of Water over those years with previous mayors has been coming and say, come, you have a problem, we've been issuing directives, you're not correcting the situation, we want to intervene in terms of our grant, but obviously we couldn't do that because that should be a section 139, and that municipality was then placed under section 139 by the provincial government. And that previous mayor, then they took the section 139 provincial government to court, then they won the case. Now we needed, we couldn't also intervene again with section 63, but that's how we then get to intervene. All we do is to make sure that we issue directives, we tell them of their portable water or not, and so forth, and we also do the administrative function. When that is not happening, we need to ensue criminal charges, if not the civil network. So that has been where we are. So today we are kind of comfortable that at last the current mayor has agreed for us to come together and reach a point where we are collaborating and we have an agreement as to that intervention. That is the biggest milestone at this point. And when I say it's unfortunate, it comes where people really had to really pass on, which is really, really sad. Now, the minister and mayor has agreed that the water sanitation and the city will partner together to jointly manage the project to fix the river in Hammanskraal. China will also contribute off its own USDG grant allocation. They will be seeking council approval of the $450 million to be approved over the NTEF. In fact, I think we need to update because it has been approved. It has made $150 million available from digital mining currently. The National Treasury will be requested to supplement this allocation to enable the project to fully implement the chain. A competent independent implementing agency will be appointed to manage implementation and being the DBSA, because we are recording previously all the things that have been happening of corruption, incompetency and so forth. So we're saying DBSA should be the implementing agency, part of the agreement. Water and sanitation at the city will form a joint technical steering committee that I was reporting on to really oversee the project. The short-term interventions to be implemented currently. The first thing is that City of Tshwane will continue with the mobile water tankering services for Hammanskraal residents from designated water filling points with regular testing of this water provider of tankers. Because we are emphasizing with them that these water tankers as well should be of the standard and quality of how they handle the water. Community structures to be requested as well to participate in structure within the city to really monitor this tankers, testing of water from tankers. Because we don't want a situation the same tankers are not handling the water with care. So the output for that, the water which meets, it will be water that will meet the drinking, and meet drinking water standards is provided to residents of Hammanskraal, and we are seeing the start date already being implemented. It started immediately, this has been happening, and the end date it is there because it needs to be continuous to be put a place on ASAP. The second short-term intervention, Chair, we are installing wastewater technology solutions at Rayvale to treat sewage and increase quality of discharge effluent into the Ebbets River. and the output we're having to have is to reduce the E. coli that was found in levels of treated sewer water which goes into the Ebbets River. But the issue was this sewer going to the Ebbets River, hence the E. coli that was input, then it was too high. Then the start date is August to June, at least June 2023, June to August. And so water sanitation and sewer planning will look into the technical aspects of it. I'm doing this so that they don't even have to go through the presentation already. The repairing chair as part of the interventions is that the repair, refurbishment and upgrade of the river. There's going to be a phase one and the acceleration of the completion of current projects at river, which is at 68% currently, and we hope to improve the quality of the effluent from the wastewater treatment works. What is being discharged into the Ebbets River, as we said, the start date, it has to be in September for the complete technical program. Then the end date will be November 2024 next year. And this is between the June before September scope. So the issue is finalization and the SDM processes. As you know, the SDM processes will be there. But what gives us comfort is that we said national treasury will also form part of the technical task team. So we ensure these processes of a supply chain are followed properly to the matter that the quality persisted. To that extent. The phase two, the upgrading of the river to add the 50 megaliters per day of the water treatment capacity and the silting of the sludge at Lutheral Dam, and this we want to do to enable the timber water treatment work to function better and produce the drinking water quality, unlike what is happening now. So we want to treat that. And feasibility rather study will be undertaken, a preliminary design, then detailed design. The funding arrangement at the SDM process will go through, and that we want this work to happen July to June. I don't know the end date and the start date is a problem to be due. So anyway, the start date will be June, and it will be ongoing and also until July. So it's something that we're going to fix these issues of the timelines, Chipperson, but the presentation that you have is better positioned to speak to those timelines, as you can see. Now, our recommendations and at this point is that water quality from rainwater machines from our site, a supply system is fit for human consumption. Hence, Hammond's goal community is to continue utilizing that water from the water supply system. The water supply from timber water plant is not fit for human consumption. That is what we are taking as part of messages, but also planning has got a responsibility to educate and ensure that the releases are less. But will continue use for other, as you say, it must be continued to be used for other uses such as flushing, laundry, irrigation, etc. The city of Tony will also continue supplying the water through the tinkering until the timber treatment plant is compliant with their stance. The city of Tony also should expedite from our side the refurbishment and upgrading of the river to improve the raw water quality of Ebbets River. The finalization of the agreement between the department and city of Tony through the issuance of a court order, which is the department needs to monitor to continue for its implementation. It's something that has been there, but currently we are on the agreement itself. I just want to highlight 2 points that we must take on the agreement that we have at this point with the city of Tuane. Like I said, there are technical testing, the communication testing that we have, the roles of the key departments to the intervention. We have the DG of Health head of HOP of health and MSP of health, health related matters, then health deals with that. Department of Social Development as well, to assist affected families with counseling and social support and social support. The National Department as well for water sanitation, we are also going to be looking at water and sanitation and service delivery matters and compile a report on the state of supply and quality one as well. So that's where we are to pursue, and I think I've recorded and I've accounted on the tankering, the water supply. Our DGCA is part of ensuring that our agreement at this point is watertight, so we can speak more about the intervention plan that we also would have ensued. But let me leave it at that. Ted, give to DCG Zwane. Understand that he's the one DG that you can take on from there, so that we are able to speak to the presentation that you would have made available. And then let me deal with the high level issues, where we at, what was the history, until where we are now with the summary presentation that you have. Over to you, teaching, but if you want to emphasize other methods, then we can get to one. Thanks.
Just a minute. I think we need not to be worried about the number. I did think that everyone the March, June, but your recent presentation gives reasons why the March can no longer be March, but June, the June can no longer be June, but October. It is understood on the writer. You don't think worried about connecting those. It is understood, but you can also point out what happened.
Chairperson, I think the DM has covered most of the points in the presentation. I just want to see if there's any additional points.
Do the green book, please.
Maybe just to mention, the honourable members would have seen in the media in the last week that we issued the blue drop, green drop, and no drop watch reports. The green drop watch report was a report of the progress of the municipalities which have been identified as having critical wastewater treatment systems in the 2022 green drop, full green drop report, and addressing the issues identified in that green drop report. The reason why we're raising it here in the context of Hammond's Kraal is just to point out that the Rooivaal Wastewater Treatment Works is not unique. But in our 2022 Green Drop report, we indicated that 30% of the wastewater treatment works in the country are in a critical state. So the Rooivaal Wastewater Treatment Works is just one of those 30% that are in a critical state. And this slide shows what we reported in the Green Drop Watch report, that after our full Green Drop report, we issued directives to those municipalities which had those critical wastewater treatment systems, requiring them to develop a corrective action plan. This directive was issued in terms of the National Water Act, in terms of our regulatory role in terms of the National Water Act. But unfortunately, by the end of March 2023, only half of those municipalities have provided us with corrective action plans, and only a fraction of those have actually started implementing those corrective action plans. So we've issued further directives in terms of the National Water Act to those municipalities who haven't submitted corrective action plans to submit them, and in some instances, we've already initiated criminal proceedings against some municipalities which haven't sent us corrective action plans, and we will be doing more of that in future. Then this slide just shows the history of the directives that we've issued to Swanee in terms of the National Water Act. Chairperson, I think you were referring to this red one here. It's not in Section 63 that you were referring to, Chair, is of the Water Services Act. All of these regulatory actions are taken in terms of the National Water Act. because these wastewater treatment works are polluting water resources, and the National Water Act gives us regulatory powers to protect water resources and to take regulatory protocols against anybody who pollutes water resources, including municipalities. So you can see that with the Rooibal one in particular, we issued a directive in 2011. This court case we started in 2019, and the court case is still there. But as the Deputy Minister indicated, there's been a change in approach from the new leadership in Tshwane, and differently to the previous leadership, they want to work with us to address the problem. So
yeah,
we've
So
we're focusing now on collaborating with the City of Tshwane, as indicated by the Deputy Minister. Maybe just a few more points about the outbreak of the cholera, and here's where the EG Tshwane can come in as well. It's not unique in terms of cholera outbreaks to not be able to identify the source. There was a big outbreak of cholera in KwaZulu-Natal in the early 2000s. The actual source of that outbreak of cholera was never found. And internationally, it's quite common with cholera outbreaks for you not to be able to find the source. It's in the nature of cholera. The City of Tshwane has been testing, doing lots of tests to try and find the source of cholera, to test whether they can find cholera through the test.
Mm-hmm.
They've been testing the outfall from the effluent from the Rooibal
mm-hmm.
wastewater treatment works. They've been testing the Arpies River. They've also been constantly testing the water coming out of the Temba water treatment works and the water which is and the distribution points and the places where the water tankers get the water from. And they haven't found any cholera. We've also been testing ourselves using our regional office. We've also been testing, and we've also been collaborating with the Water Research Commission, which is also getting further independent tests done to verify our results and to verify Tshwane's results, but also to carry out some independent tests as well. We're waiting for those to come in, but DDG Tshwane can also elaborate on this point, and that IRWAC has also been involved in doing some independent testing as well. So there's been some misunderstandings in the media about this issue of testing. For example, when we say that we haven't found cholera in the test, it doesn't mean that we're saying that the polluted water was not the cause. So just because you don't find cholera and you do the test doesn't mean that you're saying that the polluted water was not the cause. We haven't found the precise cause, but we know from a medical point of view that cholera is an oral fecal disease, and it's spread by two means, by polluted water or by food. And it can be, you can catch it from ingesting polluted water, or you can catch it from ingesting contaminated food, and it can spread between people by people not washing hands properly, for example, when they prepare food. So the key point is that while we haven't identified the source in terms of actually finding cholera in water, it's possible that the cause of the cholera might have been the polluted water in Hammanskraal, because sewage polluted water is one of the common causes of the cholera. I think the rest of it has been covered by the Deputy Minister. Just in terms of the time frames for the actual upgrading of the Rooibal wastewater treatment works, they're on the screen there. And the three phases, as you can see, phase two and phase three and phase one are all going to run in parts in parallel. because we want to try and get this project done as quickly as possible. So I don't come in on the paper.
Thanks, DJ. Maybe on the third thing is to update the committee that the last test that we have done, not only on our system, we also included the tankers as well as the Mahalis and rainwater system. And we did a comprehensive CPR testing which is the DNA, and all the results they returned negative. That was on the 6th of June and the 7th of June. But we will continue testing, and we are also looking into a period just before the outbreak so that we can see if there are any trends, maybe which might have led to the actual outbreak. But those will take longer to analyze. And the data will ask you as well, we also have been asking that aspect. Thank you, teacher.
Okay. And the normal consensus is very low, poor in a What is If you at night you hear a sound of the jackal and in the morning there is shortage of a ship, it means the ship ate one.
Sorry. It
could have been stolen
as well.
No, why does jackal only when the jackal is called back?
But the thief could have made the sound of a jackal.
So when is the polluted water?
Cholera.
You can't wake up in the morning and say there's cholera, but when there was no polluted water in Hammersgard, there was no cholera. Now you say no.
No.
I understand cholera can be caused by food. If you put your finger and hide your face on it, it can't. Your face is bigger than the finger. Okay. There we are. Leon, Mumutala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I want to thank the department and Stronic for taking politics out of this whole thing. There's no politics in water. And like the DG said, if you analyze the reports, there's only 16% of our wastewater treatment works that is fine. So the Hammerskraal issue is a wake up call for us. This could happen. It's a silent death. It could happen anywhere. You don't know when. What I like about this agreement between Tshwane and the department is that the implementing agent is DBSA. That takes away all politics and put the people of that area first. Now we will get to a point where we don't play politics. And unfortunately, I spoke to the minister a half an hour about Hammanskraal prior to it happened because we were worried about Hammanskraal, and I spoke to the DG as well and said speak to the minister, and I spoke to the minister to set up a meeting, and they met on the 16th of May here in Cape Town. The day we had our budget speech, after the speech, he met the mayor of Tshwane there here in Cape Town. And eventually, I think it shows that, and you are 100% correct, the previous mayors, it doesn't matter from which political party, They were arrogant, and I've got the money. You know, when Anil Singh was acting in the department, 2015, 2016, I can't recall. He came to me, he said he wants a meeting with Swane, if I can set it up. And I did that. And the morning of the meeting, the mayor of Swane cancelled. It wasn't important for him. And that is the kind of attitude we cannot have. If you govern, you govern for all the people. Doesn't matter what political party you belong to or the coalition you are in. The fact is, we must take our politics out of water, and it will be much better in this country going forward. But I'm just worried, DG, that this is a time bomb ticking all over the country, and unfortunately I don't have the answers for that. The Deputy Minister mentioned they are looking at some technology or they're investigating. Just write down nano-bubble technology. That could maybe assist us in cleaning the water. The nail dam in Nelstrom, the mine used nano-bubble technology to clean that dam, and you can go and have a look at what it looks like, the quality of the water. And I understand that it is, I think they're going to use that now as a pilot in the Hartbeespoort Dam in a portion of Hartbees as well, to use nanotechnology. It's new technology from overseas that maybe could assist us. It's not buying chemicals every time or throwing in, you know, it's technology that we could maybe use all over the country where we expect that we could have a problem. Thank you very much, Chair.
No. Okay, no, thanks so much, Chairperson. The issue of pollution of water is a national issue, Chairperson. The problem of Hammanskraal, it dates back over a decade ago. I think it started in 2008, if we remember very well. So I'm not blaming anyone as Honorable Leon is saying, but the fact of the matter is we're going to have the same thing happening all over the country if the department or this government doesn't take care of the people. We know about this thing. When we were waiting for cholera outbreak, then we started to take these things seriously. We knew very well from 2004 that people of Hammanskraal are drinking contaminated water. It was in media, it was everywhere. In 2019 when we started here, we called Tswane. We spoke about the Rooi Vaal. We spoke about in length about the Rooi Vaal. And the Tswane municipality said to us, we don't have funds. Can the department come in? If I remember very well, when we were discussing this thing. But as a department, we just ignored. We never went there because we don't care about the people. It is irresponsible on our side as a department, the Department of Water and Sanitation, together with these municipalities that are running these locals. They are very irresponsible. The people are dying now as we are speaking. We are speaking about people that have lost their lives. So may their soul rest in peace. But it's really irresponsible on the side of government, because it's not something that happened just recently. Pollution is everywhere. Go to Northern Cape. I once phoned also the Deputy Minister and told him, yes, also people are drinking water with feces. Everywhere, go to Free State, feces, people are drinking water with feces. And we are waiting for the cholera outbreak. Then we start sitting here and saying that what's going to happen, when are we starting, it must be as soon as possible, are we going to test, do the test and everything. So we need to take the people of this country serious and make sure that we deal with issues before they cause any trouble. Chairperson, the other question I want to raise is with regards to the report, the Green Drop. If the Green Drop report serves as an indicator to highlight high levels of pollutants, why are these studies not used to ascertain future risks
that could be mitigated as a huge budget is allocated to the Green Growth Report. The other issue, Chairperson, is with regards to the issue of DBSA. What is the role of DBSA in assisting the Hamas drought crisis? How much are the quotes submitted by DBSA to address these issues? Chairperson, thus far, what is the track record of DBSA in assisting water and sanitation infrastructure in South Africa? Let's give an example. Chairperson, why is there no risk assessment and mitigating strategies in your presentation that would compromise the time frame to complete the work in Hammanskraal? Thank you.
I did see your hand, but that water, yes, earlier on, Honorable Lewis was said, at some point he was asked by the department to facilitate a meeting between the department and SWAT in with the hope of intervening. On the eve of the meeting, Swane canceled the meeting. Government has got three spheres. Local government, it's not a bad, it's free. You can't go in their space and just want to do it under the agreement. There is also a sphere called provincial government. When the department realized that Swane is not playing the game, a provincial government was asked to put Swane into administration, which was 154. Unfortunately, they did not, they jumped on section 139 before they did section 154. Okay. And Swane went to court and won the case, stopping the intervention by this government, that was it.
But when did that happen?
No, but when you spoke, nobody intervened.
No, don't do that.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking about just principles of government. Mm. So the department wanted to intervene. In 2011, they went to went to court, people that won the case. Now today, we are in court with, we were supposed to be in court with the department, with Swan, on section 63. Because section 63 then says it allows the national government to intervene. Now, the Mayor Lana took us to court. Unfortunately, there is now Mayor Brink who has just decided no longer to be political about this issue. He wants to deal with the people of Swan. He now says, and it's not necessarily correct that in 2019 Swan said, come in. They said, give us the money. We don't want to hear. Give us the money. We will make use of the money. And the department refused to give them money because they have got no capacity to do that. So therefore, now the department, in talking to the, because I was there in Hammanskraal when Mayor Brink committed to want to speak to the mayor, and they spoke, to the minister, they spoke, yes. There is now an agreement between both the mayor, the provincial government, Imamu, who the deputy secretary of the, and Norman was there, Then there's an agreement that they are going to do one thing.
Let me see.
Okay. That's it. So the reality of the matter is, politically, you are not necessarily correct, Mamusha. This government does not care. But of course, you are saying there should be an element of agency in whatever we do. I agree. But to a statement that starts from the point of putting irresponsibility and don't careness of any other person, it's a wrong statement. But I understand the politics. It's okay. I wanted just to clear that point.
Can I respond?
Thank you, Chair.
You will come when you respond. Why do you respond? Thank you.
I'm not sure what
I'm
saying.
No, I'm not sure what you're saying.
Okay. Chair, this big sugar, Rahman. Good news at Hanan.
Good news at another. They love my good news.
It took the first flight. That first flight will torture you.
So you're collapsing.
That's torture. The sister of flight is a torture.
Okay, yeah. Chair. Can you ask the audience to keep quiet? page 3. You know, this report is quite nice. She's taking us to victory for Hamas Craft. So, let's go to page 3. Just take points by points as they are written here. Who's the DG of Justice? In March 2023, department has received corrective action plan from municipality for 168 of 334 wastewater systems. That is 50% response. 43 of these of the 90 municipalities requested support of the department to develop corrective action plan. I think, Chair, I would request that this item we should run with it. Because like what DM was saying, the intervention of the department is very important. So it reflects, you know, Mshala, when she spoke earlier, she spoke very well. But now what is Kinyaka contest chairperson? Then on page 5, Chair, here today the original source of the cholera infection has not been located. The DG said that as well. But there is an understanding or an agreement from scientists and doctors that the cause of death is cholera. Now, this statement to me, it's not an ending statement. To say, you are saying, yes indeed, it is cholera. But the originality of this cholera is not known. The DG even says, it's not for the first time. But can we have a probe further on this issue of cholera, Chair, because to me it seems we are missing something somewhere of not knowing where it originates. But we are stopping people not to drink water. We assume it is water. We assume it is this and that. So if it continues, if after the intervention of Mahalif, that's going to happen. But I'm told, I think the last report, the department said there's a drop of many people getting sick. Page 6 says, the mayor has indicated that the city supply and chain management process are corrupted. Now it's a statement. Should we agree, Rune, who are recipient of that statement, without asking what are you doing to correct that corruption? and what have you done to identify those that are corrupt in the system for them to be placed to book? And then page 7 says, a competent, I like this word, and DM, it talks volume. Number 4 says, a competent, independent implementing agent will be appointed. If we could have just said an independent implementing agent was going to be appointed to manage the implementation without putting a competent, what does it mean? It insinuates something to say in our system there's no competence. Now we are only going to get competent now when we do this. You know, this is English. I just got interested. There's nothing to worry about it. I just got interested and thinking that words like these, they make us to be worried, to be worrisome. The last point on my side, Chair. Currently, DM has counted many water tankers that are providing. And when we get Makhali's working, these water tankers are going to be on hold. There will be zero. I'm just thinking of the risk of tapering them down until we are done with it. DM, I'm just worried from maybe my experience of if there are 200 of them, and then on one day, boom, you are stopping them. This is an income of these individuals. What are you doing to can, what is the right word, to deal with the risk? Mitigate the risk of what could happen. For the same truckers or tankers, not to disrupt the new processes or to demand something else, maybe force your arm to ask them to do maintenance or any other thing that they could do, because this income seems to be, to them at that time, they will interpret it as a promised income. Thank you. I want to get some alert.
You want the department to bribe criminals not to commit crime by promising them sustainable income.
No, Chief.
Because it's not law that there shall be water tankers to supply water. It's not such a law. Now, they come as accident of activity. They are sourced because there is an incident. When that incident ends, it ends. There is no expectation for a continuous. Now, is this what people are challenging us when we make this statement? Because if we create an impression that now that we have created an expectation that there shall always be water tankers, there is a group of people, of course. It is like this people of 30% the business of money who believe it is their right to demand 30%. If you don't give them, then you must mitigate, you must have a mitigating factor to stop them. No, they must be arrested if they do that. If they continue to demand, they actually go and sabotage. It's like this, your infrastructure, railway line, where people just come and remove the railway line, and because then there will be taxis who run on that route. So if you want to collect the railway line, what is the expectation of the taxi industry that was making if we could, so we shouldn't behave that way. Let's do the right thing for purposes of the country rather than the purposes of it is like we want to do the Venezuelan life, but the rules of the law of the country is done in the soccer field. It is implemented in the chamber. It is going to be a problem. But if be the case, DG, let's hear what you if you do have answers for those. To me, I mean, the other group must not justify wrong and by making rules to rule them. DG?
You said I must speak after the. Can I come in check?
I let DG. Let's see whether he's not answering. If he doesn't, you'll come back.
Okay.
Ilin Macha.
No, I'm sharing the meeting. So I can't share the meeting on your way. It is 3 minutes to one, you must close it one.
Chairperson, it's not correct that the department ignored the situation in Hammanskraal. As indicated in this slide, we've taken a series of regulatory actions against the city of Tshwane over a number of years, which is what we're empowered to do in terms of the National Water Act, even as far as going as far as instituting criminal charges, which is an extreme step to take in terms of governmental relations. And over and above that, when the Human Rights Commission did its report on the situation in Hammanskraal, we went to National Treasury and we said we tried to get money from National Treasury so that we could give money to Tshwane to address the problems there. And National Treasury said, no, you can't have money. City of Tshwane is already getting money through the Urban Settlements Development Grant. And in fact, at the time, Tshwane was underspending on its Urban Settlements Development Grant. And the National Treasury said the issue is for Tshwane to use the money that's been allocated to it for the purpose that it was meant to be allocated, and that the Tshwane needs to prioritize upgrading of the wastewater treatment works with its Urban Settlements Development Grant. That was the unequivocal answer from Treasury. So it's not the case that we ignored and we didn't try to do something. We tried to do as much as we could within the legal framework that we have. All the time that we were aware that there were problems in Hammanskraal and elsewhere, we do further things to identify further risks. So, for example, we have the wastewater risk abatement planning, which is part of the Green Drop requirements, and which we're trying to get municipalities to adopt so that they can be aware of the risks associated with the poor management of their wastewater treatment systems. And we've also been prioritizing using our regional bulk infrastructure grant and our water services infrastructure grant and encouraging COG to prioritize these wastewater treatment systems using its MIG allocations as well. All of that is not sufficient, or hasn't been sufficient, because despite that prioritization, despite, as the Deputy Minister said, there's many cases where we've provided grant funding to municipalities to assist them to fix and upgrade their wastewater treatment works, then afterwards they haven't been maintained and they've rapidly deteriorated again. So as a result of that, we are now looking at reforms in terms of amendments to the Water Services Act to introduce an operating license system for water service providers and to strengthen the role of water services authorities in ensuring that water service providers meet minimum norms and standards. So we are taking actions to deal with these risks. The role of the DBSA in the project will be to be the implementing agent, which means that Tshwane will transfer the money that it has allocated from its USDGs now finally, plus additional money that Treasury is going to find or that they might borrow from the DBSA to the unit in the DBSA which is acts as an implementing agent for municipalities and government departments to assist with the delivery of infrastructure projects. So the DBSA plays various roles. It's a lender and they might lend money to this project, but they also have a unit which focuses on being an implementing agent on behalf of government to assist where government doesn't have the capacity to implement.
Okay.
And they track the track record of that implementing agent is very good. They've been assisting us with a number of projects, including the raising of the dam or the Sunin Dam, They are now going to assist us as this special purpose vehicle for as an implementing agent for the Val Kamakara Phase 2 project.
Okay.
Salt Barkley local municipality has appointed them to be an IA for their water pipe replacement project, and they're also acting as the IA for us in terms of the upgrading of the water treatment works in Giani, and they've performed very well. So, Honourable Seki, the reason why we use the word competent there is it actually comes from Swani itself, because in the discussions with between the minister and the mayor, and publicly as well, the mayor has indicated that the city doesn't have the capacity to implement a project of this size. A, because their supply chain processes are corrupted, but B, because they simply don't have the capacity to implement it. So they agreed and they insisted that we must ensure that it's a competent, independent implementing agent which is appointed. So their role as implementing agent will be to receive all the funding for the project and to do all the procurements and appoint all the contractors and professional engineers and et cetera, which are required for the project, and they will manage those service providers as well.
No, we are left with 2 minutes. I still want to give 1 minute to each one, the two, if they still want to say something. Because we are running out of time. Michala, a minute?
No, thanks so much. Chairperson. You know, it is very disappointing because the department is just defending something that they must not defend. We were told before in this portfolio committee that there is what we call the DDM, which is the panacea of everything between the spheres of government, starting there from there. Then we thought this DDM is able to assist this department to do what they're supposed to do. Today we are being told here that there's a problem with the manufacturing. And the issue of the coalition government, to be honest with you, it started in 2016. All along, your party, the ANC, the ruling party, from national tier to local, it was ANC. So today, we are very disappointed to hear that the ANC that was in government there, in Swan, was defying the ANC national. So you have been defied because this thing was a decade ago, from 2004. Only in 2016, when these other parties started to have coalition. So when you were defied by this, the very same government, the very same ANC, starting from national down to local, they were defying you because the issue of contamination has been known. We've been dealing with this thing of contamination from 2004. And for that matter, Chairperson, this thing is going to collapse you. Keep defending this thing. The whole country is collapsing. The whole country is collapsing. People are drinking water with feces. Maybe if they can hear, but one minute, go to Free State, the same thing. Next time there will be cholera outbreak in Free State. Next time there will be cholera outbreak in Limpopo, everywhere. So all these wastewater treatment centers and plants and water treatment plants will collapse. So let's try by all means not to defend. Oh, thank you so much.
No, Chair, thank you. Chair, let me agree with your explanation on the issue of tankers. But that's not where I was coming from, and I agree with you totally that the law is the law. But I'm talking reality, Chair, on the risk associated with that. That's all what I was saying.
I don't answer the question.
No.
When we discuss politics, say it. Propose something that must speak up there, that he can give you that answer. It's a political question. You are asking him to avoid political implications of... you are right, but it's not that you're asking an administrator to do political work. You are saying, politics, let's look into the... Yes, I hear you, but not as a question.
Okay, I think it's a cook again.
No, dear. None of my people in Mushala.
From
2004. South Africa, in that is something called separation of power. Attribution of powers is not defined or not defined. You are supposed to do up to here, no more. And here, up to here, no more. So local government does what local government must do to recirculate water to people. The Department of Water and Sanitation give raw water to them for them to get to recirculate. So when somebody does his work as a local municipality, he's not undermining anybody. He's doing his work. He's telling you that don't come here. It is like me wanting to come to your house and sleep in your bed because I have got the right to sleep in your bed. It can't happen. You have the right to say no. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chair. Of course, this matter, Chair, can be a very sensitive issue. In fact, it is a sensitive issue.
Yeah.
And water is sensitive. In its nature, water is life. If where you want life, it's water.
Mm.
If you don't have water, schooling gets interrupted. You can't prepare food for the children. Hospital get infected. Medication, how are you going to do it? Literally, your body needs water to function. Now, when you speak about this fundamental functioning of a water being life, as enshrined in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it is important for us to make sure there is that fundamental right has got access, and there is a belief, and you ensure there's a living condition of an environment that is not harmful to the health or the well-being. So I want to appreciate the comments that have been raised, especially from the first honorable member, when we say that we have removed, and this minister, Senzo, very committed in ensuring that water, there's no politics in water. There's no color in the water. There isn't any, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite important for us to have credibility. You know, this thing which happens, and people have lost hope. People were unbelievable anymore. Why people don't believe us? We're policy makers. We're here, we're doing legislation. And that's where we must come together and say, there is part of the legislation that doesn't empower us from here and there. Hence, we'll be consistent in raising with yourself issues of the water licensing, where we at, and we've been raising with yourselves, including us looking into the National Water Act, where we spoke about pollution. But pollution, there's a polluter, then there's pollution that happens ordinarily. And when the legislation as the duty as an oversight member is to start from there. So this pointing of fingers at this point is not going to help. It's even worse, people have died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to go there because we've been on the ground, we went to those families, I went to Morolong family, where they lost 5 people, buried them. You know, and as much as there's some link that we want to link with the water, as long as something has not been in evidence, has not been found, you need to be consistent. You need to communicate to people and message one, people are losing their lives. The country is under shock now. We don't know where cholera comes from. You can at least be just a responsible citizen. And it's just like when you're doing COVID. You know, all of us needed to come together. There was when you were quarantined, whether you lasted or didn't. But there is things that need to happen where government must intervene. But we can't do this matter of water point fingers. Whoever government, what government of that time, we are here now. What's important is what we do to fix the situation. Hence, we are saying this is a milestone with the 20 municipality for us to come together. We are under Section 63. You must take our responsibility from there on. So that when the pointing of fingers, we are careful that we don't also miss what is very critical to save the lives of the people. My last point, Chair, as much as DG says, that is correct. We want to point where the cholera and we want to mix it with the water. Up until the point where we're saying, yes, this is the situation. There is Stearman, what is that community next to Stearman? You know, I'm not sure better. Ganana or something.
Oh, Ganana, yeah.
I went to that.
Life.
Yes, that's where I was. And I can tell you, two neighbors, they drank from the same source. The other ones are infected and they are hospitalized. And the other one got better, the other person died. But the next door, from the same source, no one is sick. So we're saying there's a need, and that's why it's NHICD, that speaks about communicable disease. Because it was said now cholera is worldwide. So you want to trace where it's coming from. Because even when it started here, there was a person coming from Limpopo, they were found in that police academy, and that's where the issue was. Then from there, there was a spread. So as you continue to check this communicable disease, what is happening, let's allow the authorities to do their job, allow the health department to do their job. Ours is to come and account yourself in so far as the intervention of water services, and we ensure we give people water that is portable. No politics in water, especially when people are dying. You're also responsible. Let me leave it again. Thank you.
No, that's fine. I'm sure if you collapse the COVID started like that. You have said it comes from China, it comes from wherever, so, but finally it kills people. Many people. And what the BC said...
So now you are denying that it is cholera.
No.
The men are
in here. No, you are not listening properly. The BC is saying why we are only up to it is that it is a known fact, Mr. Alisi, that cholera do get through ice water, food. So because it does, we will have a problem. Water do create cholera. That's what you say. So it is a
known fact. No, they need to explain it better.
No, not better. When it's true. Mm-hmm.
So,
but meaning of the 30th of May.
Are we released?
Oh, why must they be released? They must be there. I'm not
supposed
to be there. I was not supposed to be there. I was not supposed to be there. This
minute
we're talking about you, so we will adopt minutes that you don't agree. Listen to yourself.
It's ours.
Yeah, 30 minutes. This minute we're talking about, we're adopting the right that they reported to us. 30 May. Hey, I'm going to go to the other one. People were in the meeting, there is only Maji Peterson.
Hey, move,
yes.
Sir.
No, okay. Thank you, move.
I second the proposal.
Okay, thank you very much. The meeting, the minute of the 6th of June. This was virtual.
I was searching.
Yeah.
I move for the acceptance of this minute.
Yeah. I second.
Okay.
This one was the shortest.
Mm. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. I'm told there is lunch. What is
it? Lunch.
Whatever is there for eating, it's there.
Thank you.
Lunch is well.
Okay.
Emma, five drinks from a car. You're asking a lot of help. And then you connect them again.
No.